Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The Associated Press is reporting 197 million plus dosages of the experimental swine flu vaccine are ready for the American people. And the Daily Oklahoman is reporting 12,000 U.S. children to be swine flu vaccine guinea pigs. Of course, back in 1976, it broke out at a U.S. military base. Killed one person, so they inoculated millions of Americans. Thousands and thousands and thousands of deaths resulted. In fact, I was thinking maybe later in the show today I could play part of that 60 Minutes from the 1970s going over all the deaths and the people that were paralyzed. Because after all, that was 30-plus years ago, 33 years ago. Maybe people have forgotten. And if you just step back from this and go, a couple hundred deaths worldwide from this supposed flu, 37,000 on average die a year in the United States alone, 500,000 people die worldwide every year, it's estimated by the World Health Organization, die of the common flu, different varieties of it. Right at 500,000 every year, it's 400-something thousand. You can pull up the average if you want. The point is they say 37,000 in the U.S., right at 500,000 worldwide. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the fall and winter when the regular flu hits and tens of thousands die? And they've already run the headlines that hundreds of thousands of Americans, in fact, the headlines, over 1 million Americans infected with the virus. Well, yeah, we're all infected every year with hundreds of different flu and cold bugs that don't do anything to us. I mean, this is a weak flu. But the establishment doesn't care. They are hyping it up like it is the end of the world. And hyping up in France and in England and in the Netherlands and all, China and the United States and India and Africa and all these UN organizations saying we've got to vaccinate the poor and we've got to vaccinate girls especially. And we've got to, when this crew of eugenicists that run the World Health Organization have been caught over and over again adding different chemicals and hormones to vaccines to sterilize men and women alike. They've been caught on record. And the official United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment, UN Law Policy 1992-1996, their Agenda 21, all of it states the goal of world government is population reduction. And then you have Dr. Peter Singer and Dr. Eric Pianka and Dr. Holdren and Dr. Ehrlich, on and on. Every major White House or congressional advisor in every case publish multiple books, including government above PhD level policy textbooks, agenda textbooks to carry out mass sterilization worldwide. They want a world government so they can carry it out. That's what Endgame, my film, states 2 years ago. That's what mainstream news reports today. It is an incontrovertible fact. And so we have these eugenicists that are constantly killing foster children and black people and military veterans and troops and anybody they can get their hands on, homeless, in chemical, biological, and radiological tests. And now they want to force us to take something coming up in the fall and winter. This is a big issue. We're going to discuss that and a lot more. I'll tell you about all the big guests we've got lined up today on the other side of this break. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I am wound up. I am focused. I am angry. This is going to be one hell of a transmission. Keep it locked in.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are locked and loaded for a powerful 3-hour and 52-minute transmission spanning out before us. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a rising star, Congressman Louie Gohmert, joining us coming up in the next hour. He loves George Washington, so do I. He has a great voting record. And it's not as perfect as Ron Paul's, but it's pretty darn close. And he also hails from Texas. Got to be proud of my home state. Got some rebels. After all, Texas was formed by the great Tennesseans and Kentuckians and Georgians and Alabamans, the true vanguard of the trailblazers, the pioneers. And we've got Congressman Louie Gohmert. Look, I'm waxing sentimental on Texas. Congressman Louie Gohmert will be joining us coming up in about 50 minutes. Bob Chapman, always for his Friday visit, will be popping in. And Dar Jamal, who writes for Counterpunch and a lot of other big publications, he is a very, very brave reporter who's been in Iraq, Lebanon, you name it, and he's been in Iraq lately. He'll give you a report from the ground. The troops are not pulling out. It's a totally staged maneuver. They're just ending the surge. They're pulling them out of the small police stations and barracks where Bush put them out there as sitting ducks 2.5 years ago and pulling them back into the armored green zones. So we'll have Dar Jamal on the transmission today. Totally jam-packed Friday show. I want to say great job to the crew. I want to tell Paul Hartman I like his Muhammad Ali shirt. I like that. That's actually cool. You know, you sit here looking out the glass window at your producers and board ops and other special employees I have hired just to lose equipment. And oh, I'm just joking around. I'm not talking about Hartman. I got a call from the crew in California. They're busy losing a camera, lose a phone, lose a this, lose a that. It's literally, but you know what? It doesn't matter. We are a ragtag band. We do the best job we can. And there's my wife. And you look lovely, my dear. You know what? I was in such a bad mood before I went on air that I'm just trying to be friendly and nice right now. I'm actually more and more in those moods where I want to go absolutely ape. And that's probably because I'm working out again. That's probably what it is, and I'm now remembering why I would sedate myself with large steaming plates of food. Because you eat a big old plate of food, maybe drink a few Dos Equis, and you don't feel like tearing people's heads off. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we have an important radio show lined up for you today. We have Luke Radowski and Stuart Howell from We Are Change joining us first today before the Congressman and Bob Chapman and Dar Jamal pop in. And you talk about leadership. You talk about taking action. You talk about getting involved. You talk about being on the front line. Not that any of the attacks on these guys are effective, but it is that they're being attacked by the mainstream media, alternative media, COINTELPRO shows you that they're doing the right thing. Remember last year, German Talis, the New York Post, Associated Press, and others reported, supposedly out of the nowhere, out of a dark alleyway, ran out like some type of 28 days later ghoul, zombie, and attacked a poor girl in a wheelchair savagely. Now, we had all the witnesses. The police would worked hard to not let the surveillance camera stuff be released. It was a Bush event. A Laura Bush event. Turned out the guy who attacked him with his daughter in the wheelchair was a Bush operative. So I told Mr. Tallis, who was facing all these years in prison, do not plea bargain. Go to the mat. Fight as hard as you can. Listeners raised $5,000 or $6,000 to help him. That got him a decent lawyer. They threatened him, tried to get him to plea bargain. It went to jury, and he was found not guilty, and the New York Post had to retract it. Luke has been set up and arrested where security guards walk up at public events and tell him leave. They then, with police, hold him by the arms and say, you will not leave. You're now charged with trespassing. So Luke is finding that. And we've seen national media attacking him and others, and we've also seen operatives now attacking, saying, how dare listeners of my show, you're the main ones, give him $4,500 to try to get a lawyer to defeat that. Now, you notice who they're going after. It's wherever Luke is they're going after, because they see him as the leader. Of course, the big secret to all this, and we're going to Luke and Stuart in a moment, the big secret to all of this is that Luke is not the leader except in spirit, just like I'm not a leader except in spirit, except in symbol, in emblem. It's emblematic. It's a totem, a logo, a symbol, a signet, a standard. And the symbol is courage. Having the police come up and say, we're going to plant bombs on you on video, so corrupt, they say, we're going to plant bombs on video, we're going to put you in prison for terrorism, even though you're not a terrorist, stop having your First Amendment, stop protesting outside Silverstein's offices on a city sidewalk, even with permits. And they grabbed his camera and said, this is a gun. Police in uniform said, this is a gun, we're going to charge. It's all in Truth Rising. And the reason We Are Change is so successful is it's an idea. There is no leadership. Constantly, I'm at dinner with media and people, and they say, we know you really run We Are Change. We know you're directing all these young people. Well, I want to tell the CIA and everybody else, and you should know this because you surveil us, this is leaderless, this is an idea. And as they say in V for Vendetta, paraphrasing other historical quotes, this body, this flesh and blood can die, it can be defeated, but ideas are bulletproof. And if you're willing to carry the ball for liberty and freedom and have the courage, I love the Texas Rangers credo. A man in the wrong can't stand up, can't defeat a man in the right who keeps on a-coming. And so that's why they've arrested members of We Are Change LA for no reason on video for protesting peacefully. And then they had to go to court and beat it. But the good news is there's InfoWars groups, there's Liberty Committee, Liberty groups through Ron Paul. There are We Are Change groups, 9/11 Truth groups, and countless other groups forming. They can't get us all. It's like 10,000 X-Wings going in against the Death Star instead of just 30. So launch your X-Wing, folks. Get up into the sky. Get out there on the raceway. Take action against the enemy. And win the race, folks. Get the green flag. Get the checkered flag. Because I'm trying to use a race car analogy because Stuart Howell's done some race car driving and race car training. Stuart Howell's with LA We Are Change. Luke Radowski, founder of the New York We Are Change. I saw him with New York We Are Change. I didn't want to bash at the time, but they kind of had their UN connections and things. And he wanted to confront the CFR, talk about the New World Order, make it more than just Bush. They kicked him out of the group. And I said, son, because he was like 19 years old at the time, I said, you need to just go out and be a leader and start another group. And he thought up the great name We Are Change before Obama even did, from a Gandhi quote. And look at the success they've had. And so, yes, they're going to be attacked by the national media. They're going to have people come out of dark hallways with a girl in a wheelchair and ram them into them screaming, don't attack her, don't attack her. But the truth came out in the end. And this stuff is going to happen. But We Are Change, I don't know, according to Rockefeller, 35 of them, swarmed the Capitol. They gave out to a whole bunch of members of Congress, DVDs, different films, thermite reports, peer-reviewed journals, explosives in the buildings. They confronted Jay Rockefeller, really becoming the heir apparent to David right now, one of the most powerful men in the world. They did a stellar out-of-the-park job, and all of us can emulate them. I've even been sent emails saying, oh, the Jay Rockefeller thing's fake. Definitely COINTELPRO. It's like I was sent some email of a guy saying, when George Bush had me arrested, that was fake because the video camera zooms in on me. Yeah, it's my video camera. They then assault my cameraman. We put that text on the screen. This is the type of mental illness in COINTELPRO going on. My only issue is you can go out and confront politicians for yourself and discover it's real. And the enemy is afraid you're going to discover there are real heroes and that it's you looking in the mirror, and that all of us can take action and go take over city council meetings and Senate meetings and House meetings and gubernatorial meetings, and that we can take control of the media by going to the press conferences and speeches, and we can do it peacefully, and that the buzz we've created is spreading exponentially. And they may put a couple bullets in my ass or even Luke's, but let me tell you something. You take that as a word of encouragement and you intensify the actions against the enemy peacefully, because we're going to win this thing and bring these bankers to justice. Now everybody's waking up to the private Federal Reserve and the New World Order, and the drums are being beat everywhere to audit them and to arrest them. And you heard Ron Paul's son call for their investigation and arrest yesterday. We're getting our fighting spirit, the spirit of 1776 back, and we're going to bring down the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen. So all the government operatives and all the whisper campaigns and all the disinformation agents, we are leading by example. We are taking action, and it doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have all the answers, and it doesn't mean that we go out there and ask all the right questions or do it perfectly. But we got guts, and guts is enough, and we're taking action, and we're never going to stop. And I ask that God be with us and lead, guide, and direct us. Now, we come back. Stuart Howe. Luke Radowski confronting Jay Rockefeller with other great We Are Changers. Incredible video going viral right now on the web at wearechange.org, wearechangela.org, infowars.com, and prisonplanet.com. The story Kurt Nemo wrote about it is mega viral. We'll be right back on the other side with these two great patriots in the spirit of 1776.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, let's go to Luke Radowski and Stuart Howe. Every week, LA, We Are Change, New York, We Are Change is confronting global leaders. But We Are Change worldwide is doing the same thing, from Japan to Ireland, from Canada to Mexico. Luke and Stuart, I want to salute both of you.
Alex, it's an honor to be on with you guys. Good work.
Thank you so much, man. It's about the leaderless resistance.
Well, that's what makes it so powerful, is it's the idea, and I didn't mean to make you sit on hold while I commended you guys, but again, the enemy is really trying to tear us down right now because they're afraid others will emulate and become active. Folks, you can just write us off and say we're the worst people since Beelzebub, but don't let that keep you from taking action against the New World Order. That's the last thing they want you to do, is to believe there are real people out there engaged in resistance. There are. Look in the mirror. Luke, tell us about the great victories, and then I want to come back in the next segment, get into confronting Jay Rockefeller with you and Stuart, but the big victories in a nutshell that you've been having, and then Stuart out in L.A., We Are Change.
We've been confronting politicians left and right. Right now we're going through a couple, you know, cases. I had my court case Monday with the whole Mayor Bloomberg arrest case. We're doing big events for 9/11 this year. We're doing a lot of major things right now here in New York City. We're trying to get everybody activated, motivated, and that Rockefeller video shows you how much power we have as citizens with a camera to expose tyranny and make these powerful men run away like cowards they are. And that's exactly what it's about, motivating other people to take action and do what they want. These people are not as powerful as they seem. We are more powerful than they are.
And here's the key, and I want to get your take on this and then Stuart's. They want us focusing on Barack Obama. They're already starting to tear him down, show that he's a liar, to further demoralize everybody so they can bring in the next right-wing fake puppet instead of their new left-wing puppet that they're currently using. They don't like us going to the Rothschilds and Rockefellers' houses. They don't like you going to their Senate office building and confronting them with powerful info. They don't like it that we're now shifting things off the diversion, the projected movie screen, the hologram that is the mainline puppets, to the real power structure. And now, with Ron Paul and you guys and everybody else, we've made it about the private Federal Reserve. We've made it about the actual enemy that's conquered our country in 1913. Stuart, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's a wild ride, Alex.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, what is it like to see this type of effect happening? And tell us real fast some of the victories you guys have been having in Los Angeles, We Are Change.
Oh, man, we're out there every chance we get. You know, whether it's a march and passing out information and freeway bannering, Katie and Bruno and the rest of the crew, Jeremy, are doing a great job working actually with law enforcement and Oath Keepers. I mean, we're trying to be active on every front we can because we're seeing a tipping point where the misdirection, you know, the hoax is breaking down and there's cracks in the walls. And, you know, we're just stepping up as best as we can, being flawed individuals, to just have at it, you know?
Well, you said it, the tipping point. I mean, it's so asinine to have offshore banks who publicly created the banking crisis stealing $23.7 trillion in 9.5 months. I mean, it's obvious. It's obviously tyranny. It's obviously tyranny when TSA is searching three-year-olds, backpacks. I mean, it's baloney. Stuart, who are some of the folks? Go ahead.
Yeah, they're stepping out of the shadows, and this is when they're most exposed. You know, the shadow government is their, you know, the hubris is insane, and, you know, they think they can just step out and show up in public, and it's just not the case. And I hope that the way I was inspired by Luke and Cynthia McKinney and you and the other Change chapters, I'm hoping that'll grab on because we've got to expose these tools, you know, the misdirection. And the hoax, you know, it's pretty plain to see once you break the mindset and somebody's willing to look at it.
Well, we also continue to beat them when they try to set us up, which is a real blessing from God and a blessing with the supporters out there. But I want to come back and get into the operation you guys, Change groups all over the country, real change, not counterfeit Obamanoid change, are engaging in at the Capitol. Luke, start telling us about what happened with giving out the peer-reviewed journals to the members of Congress about the explosives in the towers.
I mean, we literally reached out to almost 20 representatives, congressmen, senators, and I think the most interesting one was Senator Schumer of New York, where me and Stewart got him 2 days in a row. The second day, he literally called the police for just asking him a question peacefully, and the police detained us for 1 hour. And Schumer even came along when the police were detaining us, pointing his fingers at us. It was like, yeah, those are the people that, kept asking me questions and whatever it was. And they literally detained us for 1 hour, me and Stewart, for peacefully giving evidence of explosives found at Ground Zero, documented evidence to our representatives. And we told them, we put them on record, we served them with papers saying if they don't do nothing about this, they're guilty as well.
Stay there. Stay there, Luke. Stay there, Stuart. We'll do 10 more minutes with you on the other side.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here live. Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas joining us in the next hour. Bob Chapman, Dar Jamal, and others coming up as well. All right, going back to Stuart Rhodes, We Are Change LA, to, of course, Luke Radowski, founder of We Are Change. You cannot repeat this enough. This is what the establishment's afraid of. Is the people actually going out, going to congressmen and senators' houses, going to their government buildings, going to their meet-and-greet public events, asking them real questions. And if all of you listening just go out once a month and do something like this, go to a city council meeting, go to a speech the senator's giving, get up and ask a serious question. We are already the majority. We just have to show it, and then the illusion will be shattered, and everybody out there who feels like they're by themselves will now realize that we're the majority, and the New World Order will come crashing down in a big way. Okay, Luke Radowski, going back to you. Tell folks what happened with Jay Rockefeller, and then I want to get Stuart Howe's take on this. But let's start at the beginning. In a nutshell, this Operation Congress, this going there, serving them, putting them on notice with peer-reviewed journals, both from Europe and the U.S., showing how the globalists blew up the towers.
They really did not like that at all. And we put them on record. They knew that we had about 8 video cameras there, that everything would be videotaped, everything would be on YouTube, and that them getting the evidence in their hands, that's going to be on record, and that they're going to have to do something about this. Jay Rockefeller, Stewart, did an excellent job asking him a question during the press conference. And then Senator Jay Rockefeller mentioned something about 30 people outside Schumer's office that we didn't even know nothing about. And he said he wouldn't answer the question, and he ran away snickingly. And then Katie said, "Wait, I want to know about the Bilderberg Group." And he said, "Well, no, different. We can't talk about it right now." And when Katie asked, "When can we talk about it?" he just, snapped back, saying, "No, you can't." And he ran away. And when he ran away, I mean, he just implicated himself, and that's why we just filed him and asked him more questions politely about his family starting the modern eugenics movement. And that's when he said he has to walk faster. And that just shows you what kind of cowards these men really are. When you,
and by the way, if you go to Encyclopedia Britannica or buy any mainstream best-selling history book on eugenics, it says that in around 1900, John D. the First literally funded worldwide eugenics and created the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute on Eugenics, the big one in England, the big one in Ireland, the big one in Berlin. He set up the Cold Springs Harbor. I mean, they set up Margaret Sanger, everything. Cancer viruses and vaccines, they discovered that in the 20s, set up the cancer hospitals and spread it in the vaccines. I mean, this is the most diabolical family. If there's a first family of, say, Satan, I would have to say it's not even Rothschild, though they fund a lot of this stuff. It's got to be Rockefeller. I know Rothschild's got more money, but, I mean, Rockefellers, every time you turn over a rock, it's them. Go ahead.
I mean, they have so much influence, and that's why it's so important to go after the true source of power, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, but the real powers behind the scenes, and that's the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, these huge banking families that have established modern eugenics and that Hitler even adored and looked up to. And when, asking him, I didn't let up. I politely asked him a question. I was really nice to him, but his attitude just shows how much he has to hide. He ran away. And he said that I should run for Congress because I have balls or whatever it was. But that's not even that important. Like, his testimony of him not even trying to answer the question, looking guilty, running away as fast as he could, hobble on off, shows you how much power we have as individuals to make these powerful people run away from us and look guilty just by asking them a simple question. And that's what I encourage everybody to do in their local cities, in their local towns. Go out there, get active, and ask these people real questions.
Just in a nutshell, Luke Radowski, founder of We Are Change Worldwide, how did this idea form to go deliver these to members of Congress? How many were you able to visit, and what was it like?
I mean, that was a great idea by We Are Change LA with Stewart, Jeremy, Katie, and Bruno. They thought up of this idea. They printed out all these documents, and we literally spent 3-4 days going to offices and running into all these senators and congressmen on the floor over there. And it was,
which other citizens could do. I mean, instead of just calling them or emailing them, people need to make trips to these bastards before they totally shut the Capitol down and get them by the hand and say, "Listen, you little bastard, we're not asking, we're telling you, stop destroying America."
I wish I lived in D.C. because anybody could go on to the congressional offices, the Senate offices, and just walk up and talk to these people with a camera. It's legal. Anybody could do it. I wish I lived down there because I would have been in front of people every single day. And that's what's so amazing and beautiful about what we can do as individual citizens, speaking truth to power and exposing, shedding light on the real darkness in our government and all the corruption that's going on right now. And that's why it's so critically important for people to stand up and be the change that they want to see in this world.
Well, Luke, there's definitely no doubt that you and others with this spirit of liberty and just taking action, the globalists call it change agents, because they send out their people in the community that are bought and paid for trying to manipulate things. They know the powers at the grassroots. We are the real change agents, the organic change agents for liberty and freedom. And there's no excuses, even if folks can't go to D.C. Your senators, your House members, they all, dozens and dozens of times a year, go to public events at grocery stores and libraries and old folks' homes and public schools and colleges. Get up off your butts, America. Get in there. Go ahead.
it's easy. Anybody could do this. And even, you know, this year during our 9/11 events, we're going to be teaching, we're going to have learning seminars on how to be an activist journalist, how to be a real citizen, how to go out there and be effective in the political process by going out there asking real questions. So we're going to be out there, and we're going to be doing huge events again this year in New York City on 9/11, and we hope everybody could come out.
What else happened? I mean, any other tidbits we should be made aware of?
Senator Schumer called the cops on us. We have a congresswoman that supported our new investigation. That's on video. That's on the videos that Bruno put out on We Are Change LA. We're out there. I mean, the videos of us confronting these politicians is amazing. And you see the reaction of them being put on record, serve documents that they could be held liable for if they don't do anything about. And that's the real power. It's not about calling or emailing them, because they will ignore your calls and emails. You have to go up in person, face to face with them, and talk to them one-on-one and make them understand that we're not going to back down and they're going to...
Well, I agree with you. But, I mean, I agree with you, but it's more like when you call or email, it's like a gnat. But when you go and get them by the hand and look them in the eyes and give them documents, it's like an elephant gun in the info war. Let's go to Stuart Howe, one of the founders of LA We Are Change. Stuart, great to have you on with us. In a nutshell, what was it like to launch this event? How many members of Congress did you reach?
Well over a dozen. And I got to say, you know, this couldn't have been done without the great work of these scientists who put together this very strong paper, and Ms. Malloy, who helped us to get there. So, you know, we had a really strong package, and, you know, we went about getting it into the hands of everybody we could. And I got to tell you, I hope the Norman Mineta segment gets in the third film that Bruno's working on, because this man was so thankful. I mean, the way he shook our hands and lit up, you know, when we thanked him for his service and his testimony about Cheney's de facto stand down orders, you know, it warmed the heart. And the way Sheila Jackson Lee responded, and Maxine Waters, and there is support. I think there's...
Yeah, I would be happy to stick this in the new Obama film, but I've only got about 2 weeks for any final footage, because I'm going to be done with it in about the next month and a half or less. So any footage you guys want, I will make a section in there. The Rockefeller was perfect because I'm already doing a little eugenics section, more than a little eugenics section. But yes, I would like to put some 9/11 truth in this one. We didn't put as much of that in the first Obama, because that was about shattering the left-right paradigm. But yes, this Obama film is probably going to be the biggest film I've ever made. So any We Are Change has footage. I can't guarantee I'll end up using it, but just get it to me now, Stuart.
Yeah, you got it. I'll get with Bruno on that. Thanks, Alex. Yeah, it was amazing back there. It was amazing, you know, to have the team we had, to have Heidi, who came down from Maryland Change, and you know, Miss Malloy, Jasper, and Sasha, of course, Katie and Bruno. You know, I got to tell you, these guys all just look like, you know, crooked old white guys in suits. But Luke and especially, you know, Bruno and Jeremy knew who they were, and we just had like every 10 minutes. There's this guy. There's that guy. And
now let's be specific, though, because I mean, I'm going from memory. You guys delivered a whole bunch more packets to congressmen's offices. You just ran into a dozen or more and physically gave it to them? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's probably 20 or more, and we do have a list. We're working on the follow-up, you know, and we're going to do everything we can with the list. But we were as effective as we could be over 3 or 4 days. And
how many packets, you know, did you hand out total?
I would say probably between 20 and 25.
Okay.
And some of them were addressed to Congressman Senator, or some of them were addressed to dear defender of the Constitution.
You know what? I got an idea, Stuart. You guys could put a copy of the report you sent up at We Are Change LA or WeAreChange.org, and everybody could get it and mail it and send it registered to every member of Congress and the Senate.
Yeah,
until
they're
knee deep. Oh, so it is up.
It's up, Bruno, and everybody. Jeremy Katie did a great job. All the documents are linked from the YouTube page on the sidebar. Maybe not from the Rockefeller video, but from the D.C. event day 1 and 2. They're linked, and it's, you know, it's ready to go. All you got to do is print them out and have at it. One thing I would say, Alex, is, you know, for people to get out there, but bring cameras. Bring a camera to film the camera person, because what happened to Talis, you know, was avoidable. If there would have been a few people filming the people doing the filming, I mean, let's try to, you know, be smart and heads up.
That's right. What we are, We Are Change LA has been charged and arrested before, but it's been dropped, correct? Because you guys did have video. I mean, our weapon is video. Never work in groups of smaller than three. Cameras are like $200 now for decent cameras. Everybody needs a video camera. It's good to have a hidden pin camera like the Diginet.net folks have as a backup, because you will catch the cops doing unbelievably evil things. Once they grab your cameras, you can have that hidden camera still rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to say that we had some support from the police there. You know, we were detained, I guess, because of pressure from Schumer and who else. But we also felt that there was a good bit of support for us, even though
No, I want to be clear. A lot of police are waking up. They send us a lot of documents, but they're still bad ones. Like the ones that knew that, German Talis had been attacked and it was a setup. Now, the Secret Service did testify it was a lie. They wouldn't, ruin their career to lie for the NYPD, but the NYPD did lie in that setup, a very criminal group on average. So you can't deny that. Well, listen, Luke and Stuart Howe, we're going to have you both up in the next few weeks as we build towards the 9/11 anniversary. A lot of big stuff in the works. Men, I just want to commend you. Everybody's praying for you. God bless.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you very much, brother. We're going to keep it up.
You bet. Luke, I want to have you and Stuart back up. I just got a guest coming up next week to really get into the look on Rockefeller's face, how he said you got a lot of balls, you ought to run for Congress. It was just incredible.
Thanks, sure it was, and that's exactly what this country was founded on, and we have to do this even more.
You bet. God bless you. God bless
you. God bless you, brother.
Good to have both of you on with us. There they go, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Now, for the next 6-7 minutes, we are joined by Tyler Palmer from Ecola Blue. And the reason I wanted to get him up before I come back in the next segment, get into news, another guest, a congressman coming up, is because they've got a new, even better unit, their base unit, new and improved, and a special discount for listeners today. This is an atmospheric water generator. I have one in my office, one in my home. I got one out there by the treadmill in the garage. If you have higher humidity in the garage, it just fills up every day, 7.5 gallons, and they have an even better deal out now. This is the unit. This is the system to get, and the website is ecolablue.com, ecolablue.com, and it is just absolutely great to have Tyler Palmer on, the inventor and head of the company. Tyler, good to have you on with us.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me on again. It's great to be here and to kick off our new Ecolo Blue 28 with a 20% off discount for Alex Jones listeners.
Tell folks about the Ecolo Blue 28.
Well, it's the new version has a stainless steel lower tank. So what happens is this machine takes the atmospheric, the water that's in the atmosphere, and condenses that humidity, stores it in a lower storage tank, and then pumps it through a reverse osmosis system and three granular activated carbon filters, in addition to having a UV light, which we added into the lower storage tank now. There are two UV lights up top in the chilling tank. It chills the water and has a hot water tank. So it's sort of a state-of-the-art system. Completely doable off-grid and cutting your bills for municipal and bottled water really to very low levels.
Now, explain to people that don't understand that in the first 30,000 feet of the atmosphere, there's over 10 feet of water. That's what shields us mainly from solar radiation, that and the magnetic field of the planet. I know the media will say it's a conspiracy theory. We're not on a planet, but there is a magnetic field. There is an atmosphere. There is water in the air.
Right.
Explain to people how this grabs the water out of the air and then purifies it.
Well, it has a I don't know if people have noticed, especially in the summer on a hot day, you'll see beads of water appearing on the outside of a cold drink. Sometimes you'll need a coaster because it'll leave a ring on a wooden table. And that's essentially what the machine is doing. It has a cold surface, and it sucks the atmospheric air into the machine. The moisture in that air condenses onto that cold surface, like morning dew, literally. As it grows bigger and bigger, the droplets, and then they eventually gravity pulls them down to this lower tank. once there's enough water in that lower tank, it's then pumped through to the filtration system. When it's done with the filtration system, it's stored in a separate tank, which is about 2.5 gallon tank that can chill the water from 39 degrees Fahrenheit to about 54 degrees Fahrenheit. So you can set the range in there. And then there's an even smaller hot water tank below that, and that is about 0.5 gallon. And you can dial in the temperature from about 157 degrees Fahrenheit to 199 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right, I want to get this special out before we break and come back for one more minute on the other side. The Color Blue special today, only for my listeners. Get three of my DVDs, Endgame, Obama Deception, and Terror Storm, free and 20% off, which is a huge savings on the new Color Blue 28 model, which we just got a new one in the office. It's much improved, better filtering, stainless steel, bottom tank, and more, much higher quality construction. I thought the other units we have are great and used, but this is a Rolls Royce of that for an even lower price. Can't beat that. AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue.com. Links up on InfoWars.com. We'll give you the toll-free number when we get back. Stay with us. Going back to Tyler Palmer of AcolaBlue.com. Tyler, a lot of folks want to get this 20% off on that unit. You got a bunch of other great units. Folks should find out more at AcolaBlue.com. How long does this deal run? And give folks the toll-free number.
We do have industrial units that go up to about 5,000 liters per day, but those are tailor-made for everyone's specific application. The minimum size on that is 200 liters per day. To get the special, you need to go to our website, www.ecoloblue.com, and put in the promo code Alex Jones, one word, or call 800-691-6043. And this special lasts until Monday night, the 27th of July.
So this is running until next Monday.
Yeah.
For folks that want to be able to get that.
Yes, we've never given this big of a cut before on the machines in terms of a promotion, and we just are really excited about this, and we want people to take advantage of the machine and get energy and water independence. As your intro song, Give Me Shelter, one of my favorite songs, by the way, everybody can have a little bit of shelter from, the fickle municipal rates and regulators.
Absolutely. Give folks that toll-free number again.
It's 800-691-6043. And one more time, 800-691-6043.
Well, that's a great deal. 20% off the unit and three DVDs absolutely free at AcolaBlue.com with the product code or discount code Alex or?
Alex Jones, one word.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good hearing from you.
Thank you, Alex.
Appreciate you coming on. That runs till Monday evening, folks, so take advantage of it. Calling in the next 10 minutes is Congressman Louie Gohmert, who I'm a big fan of. In fact, I meant to get some great clips of him fighting the cap-and-trade legislation, fighting the gun-grabbing bills, and so much more. So we'll come back into the next hour as we start simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to simulcast at PrisonPlanet.tv for 3 hours of the four-hour show on this Friday. And we do have quite a few guests coming on today that I'll tell you about coming up in the next segment with Representative Louie Gohmert. And again, I'm looking forward to this interview. I got a lot of other news. They're saying they're going to have 12,000 U.S. school kids as guinea pigs for the experimental shot. I saw an AP headline, but I forgot to print it. Will you guys It's 197 million or 198 million flu shots bought by U.S. government. That was the headline. I need that because I want to get to that after Gohmert leaves us in about 35 minutes from now. He's with us for a half hour. And no, we're not going to be talking about this big police diversion of some Harvard professor getting arrested and Obama calling police dumb and them calling him dumb and calling for an apology. All of that stuff is racial football issues, distractions. And the neighbor saw somebody go in a house, might have been because he was black. And then they got there and the guy went wild and they arrested him. They'll arrest anybody for that nowadays, and I'm not saying it's right, but the whole thing is a political football issue, so I'm not going to cover it. I'm not going to talk about Michael Jackson either. I'm not going to talk about how to play tiddlywinks. I'm going to talk about the $23.7 trillion they've stolen from all of us. I'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us. We're now already into hour number two. Have three more hours laying out before us. A ton of news and information, your calls, and a lot of guests coming up. Speaking of guests, Congressman Louie Gohmert scheduled to call in the next 10 minutes or so. He's been fighting the cap-and-trade legislation, the gun-grabbing, all the tyranny going on. Republican congressman from Texas. Then we have our weekly visit in the next hour with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster to go over all the big developments in the economy, including the congressional reports, AP, Reuters, and Bloomberg reporting, $23.7 trillion stolen by the offshore banks that control Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the Treasury Department, as well as the private Federal Reserve. And then he's a reporter for Counterpunch and a lot of other big publications. Dar Jamal is an American, but he has been in Lebanon during the war, been in Iraq during the war. He's been to Iraq recently. He'll give you a report of what things really look like in Iraq there. And is Obama really pulling the troops out? According to Dar Jamal, no, it's all a staged shell game event. So that's coming up in the last hour today from a reporter who's been on the ground in Baghdad and all over Iraq and the Middle East, as well as Central Asia. Congressman Louie Gohmert, Bob Chapman, and Dar Jamal coming up, and of course, your phone calls. I want to get into the whole flu fear-mongering. They're saying that they've bought close to 200 million doses of the flu shot to forcibly inject the American people. Now, they said back in 2002 they were going to make all first responders, 14 million of them, doctors, nurses, police, firemen, county, city, state workers, federal workers, take the smallpox shot. And LA Times reported out of 14 million, 4,000 took it. But a bunch of them died. Then the whole program fell apart when Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson refused to take it. So just because they're saying they're going to make us take this in the fall doesn't mean it's going to happen. But they do have a captive audience that's been trained to put up with all of this and go along with all of this, and that is public school children. And so there's a PrisonPlanet.com article Paul Watson wrote today that is reporting on a story out of the Daily Oklahoman, 12,000 U.S. children to be swine flu vaccine guinea pigs. So we've had a few deaths in the U.S., less than 200 worldwide. Regular flu kills 37,000, according to the CDC, every year in the U.S. If the flu kills a couple hundred people coming up in the fall and winter, my God, if they almost shut America and the world down for less than 200 deaths, and was it five or six in the U.S. with people that were already on lung machines or already had already had really bad immune systems? And I misspoke earlier. I said 197 million. I don't know why that popped in my head. MSNBC reported U.S. buys 195 million doses. So 195 million doses. So I was 2 million wrong. What does it matter? 195 million of swine flu vaccine. Government hopes to speed development of fall vaccination program. And they were saying a month into that thing breaking out that they already had a vaccine for it when it normally takes 6 months. I mean, this is a load of bull. And then they admit it's already mutating constantly and changing. And so how are they then going to have a vaccine for it if it's already changed? And I saw a story in the London Times 2 days ago with a top epidemiologist saying this is a total fraud. It's profiteering at the bare minimum with a made-up vaccine for something that isn't even killing people. Why does the government want you to take this so bad? Why are they pushing this on society so hard is the big question. So we'll talk about that and a lot more on the other side of this quick break. Also, this 3 hours is carried on the weekends, on Saturday on XM. Coming up later in the hour, I'll give you that channel and showtime for the 3 hours of the Friday show. The second, third, and fourth hour, they carry on XM. Very exciting. As they look at picking us up, they want to pick us up live. They don't have the slot right now, but that's in the works. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We watch a lot of C-SPAN around here, especially making the Obama deception that Congressman Louie Gohmert appears in briefly. And making the new Obama film that I'll soon tell you the name of comes out in mid-October. But really, he is on the mark. He's always up at the front, late at night, early in the morning, fighting the gun-grabbing agenda, the hate speech agenda, restricting the First Amendment, fighting the cap and trade to take over our country. He's the guy I always see now when we're watching, like nobody else, up there energetically fighting when they're trying to not let him read the bills. When they're ramming through all forms of corruption. He was there fighting the banker takeover bill back in October of last year. He's now fighting Obama and getting called partisan when he's not. He's standing up for the Bill of Rights Constitution. And like myself, he's also somewhat of a history fan. And he's a big supporter and fan of my idol, George Washington, that the media doesn't ever really talk about or kind of puts on a pedestal because they don't want you knowing about George Washington because he would then become an example for new George Washingtons to stand up to tyranny today. So for the next 25 minutes or so, Congressman Louie Gohmert joins us, serving his third term in the U.S. State House of Representatives. Congressman Louie Gohmert proudly represents the 1st District of Texas, which encompasses over 12 counties stretching for nearly 120 miles down the state's eastern border, including where my family's from. Representative Gohmert is developing innovative solutions to jumpstart our economy and offering practical alternatives to the government's bailout frenzy. His federal income tax holiday gained widespread national support from the grassroots level to national leaders, allowing taxpayers to decide how best to spend their hard-earned money. Louie has repeatedly called for an end to socialization of our economy. Prior to being elected to serve in the Congress, Louie was elected to 3 terms as district judge in Smith County, Texas. He has later appointed by Texas Governor Rick Perry to complete a term as Chief Justice of the 12th Court of Appeals. And Congressman Louie Gohmert, sir, great to have you here with us.
Well, great to be with you, Alex, but that was such a great introduction. I'm afraid to talk anymore and screw it up.
Well, you know, we watch C-SPAN every day. And I have the guys selecting out clips of what you're doing as we try to sift through all these for the film. And I tell you, you are an attack dog for liberty and freedom. If we had more people like you, we wouldn't be turning into communist Russia.
Well, it is heartbreaking what's going on around here. And just you see this stuff and you go, how can you do this? This has been done before. You go back and read Morgenthau, the Secretary of Treasury's own private diary in 1940, where he says, we've spent more money than ever in history, and we're no better off. We've still got the record unemployment. I mean, all this stuff is not new. We're just trying to do the same things and expecting a different result.
But the bankers, as you have eloquently said, they like it. They're getting to direct the economy. They're getting to play the part of savior to a crime. I mean, they hit the iceberg, and then they're the hero.
Isn't that incredible? And one of the things, you know, it's now gotten popular to say everybody ought to read the bill. I was on the floor last September when this bailout started saying, guys, you've got to read the bill. You'll know this is not something we do if you'll just read it. And I tell you, Alex, I don't know if you're aware, but you know, in that bill last September, and of course we didn't vote for it until October. We voted down the first time, and then the stock market fell 777 points. And then the president I like so much was able to twist arms and get people to vote for this crappy thing. But anyway, in that bill, it raised the debt ceiling by $1.3 trillion. So when I saw that, I went, whoa, there's something else at play here than just the $700 billion slush fund. And, Alex, I went through looking, okay, where are the loopholes that might allow them to spend more than this? And what I saw was, you know what, this provision that allows him to hire anybody he wants to or pay anybody he needs to help him manage this TARP stuff, went, holy cow, this is the Goldman Sachs benevolent fund right here. And we can't even find out how much has gone to Goldman Sachs, but you probably noticed they had their biggest record profit the second quarter this year, $3.44 billion.
Well, let's get into that in a moment. We had Congressman okay. Brad Sherman on during early October, and then we had the clip of Senator Inhofe where Paulson, who was working with the head of the New York Fed at the time in tandem, now Treasury Secretary Geithner, came in to close meetings and said, we're going to have martial law and do this anyways if you don't get behind it. Then they went out and said, we're going to have a depression because Congress wouldn't pass it. Yep. That was financial terrorism.
Yep.
They
it
drove
was.
Down the market. There's no doubt. Can you speak to what happened there?
Well, I sure can. Actually, you know, this was in a private conference call. When all of this first came up, Bernanke and Paulson were in a conference call with the Republican members of Congress and then separately with the Democratic members of Congress. And he said, you know, there's these toxic assets, the mortgage-backed securities that nobody will buy. They're freezing up everything. But you give me $700 billion and I can get things moving, but it's just nobody's buying because they don't know what they're worth. When they opened it up for questions, somebody beat me to the question. I don't remember if it was Ron or who, but somebody asked the first thing that came to my mind, well, wait a minute, Secretary. If nobody knows what these are worth, how do you know you need $700 billion? And his response just sent me into orbit. It was, well, we just needed a really big number. Now, I don't know how you do business. Yes, I do. I know plenty about you. But you would never say that. That is insane. We need a big number. And to this day, if we had not, and I say we, I was 100% against it, but if that had not passed, there's no way Obama could have gotten an $800 billion stimulus and a $400 billion land omnibus and gotten the rest of that TARP money and on. But what happened was, on the president did something presidents are never, ever supposed to do. He went out, convinced by Paulson it was the thing to do, and said, we're about to have a depression, a stock crash, bank failures, but if we give my bozo buddy over here, Paulson, $700 billion, then he can mitigate it and it won't be so bad. Now, 300 financial experts had said, all you got to do is first suspend the mark-to-market rule and allow these banks to at least carry those mortgage-backed securities, even if it's 30%. They've got mortgages. They may not be worth 100 cents on the dollar, but they're worth something. You let them be carried at 30 cents on the dollar, Washington Mutual won't fail, Wachovia won't fail, and we're going to be okay, and we can work our way through this. But I know this is cynical, but I really believe Paulson needed a couple of banks to fail to scare everybody enough so that he could get them to vote for that bill.
So we're talking, Congressman, then, about financial terrorism.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. But then that Monday, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When the President and Treasury Secretary say, if Congress doesn't pass this bill, the market's going to crash. Well, it didn't crash, but it did drop 777 points because they scared people. Presidents are supposed to say, we got nothing to fear but fear itself, not either do what we say or we're going to, you know, go to hell in a handbasket. And so the market crashed. And then, I tell you, Alex, my calls went from about 1,000 to 100 against that bailout to being about 500 to 50 in favor. Just look. You may not like it, but we can't stand another 777-point drop. And I'm going to look. you may vote me out, and this was some of my biggest contributors. Look, I think the world of you may vote me out, but I have read this bill. I cannot vote for it. I'd rather lose than be on record ever vote for this sorry thing.
Well, Congressman Gohmert, we commend you because you've been proven right in hindsight. Now, going back to what you tried to mention a few minutes ago, now they use the same psychology. Always give them a new bailout they're calling for,
yep.
A new
yep.
Bank of the World that we're going to pay the carbon taxes to. And Al Gore says, what's wrong with paying your taxes to me? What's wrong with me making money? I mean, this is so overtly corrupt that it's even hard for me to believe. Is that the blind spot, that this is just so outrageously corrupt, so outrageously evil, seizing the whole economy, seizing GM, hacking pieces of it off to Brazil and China and Russia? I'd like you to speak to that, but then all these congressmen and senators keep asking, where's the money? Where's the money of Bernanke? And he just says, no, I will not tell you. How long can this go on, this banking dictatorship?
It shouldn't go on another day, but, and the truth is, most of the people here, they really think they're doing the right thing. They did when they were voting for the bailout and the stimulus and all this. They just really think, oh, well, we just need to do this. And I've had guys across the aisle say, look, Louis, maybe even if you were right, we think you're wrong. Even if you were right, we always come back and fix things. I'm going, the Soviet Union didn't get a chance to come back and fix things. They went bankrupt and they ceased to exist. You may not get a chance to come back and fix it after you screw it up bad enough.
Well, you're right, Congressman. Russia is still in shambles from what happened under 60, 70 years of rule. Speaking of the Soviet Union, there is no doubt this country's been hijacked by foreign offshore banks. Are you supporting the bill to audit the private Federal Reserve?
100%. 100%. You know, we've heard from the other side of the aisle over and over again that we need transparency from the CIA. Well, how about some transparency from the Fed? My goodness. And Alex, you're so on top of things. I know you've been following this push, and it's just draconian, actually Machiavellian, the way they're seizing power. But this push to develop what they're calling the systemic risk entities in America, whether it's banks, you know, stock brokers, different manufacturers, they will designate systemic risk companies or banks. And if you're designated as such, then that means you're too important to ever allow you to fail. Well, once you do that, the government's going to bail you out of any hole you get in. And so it allows you to run your competition out of business, because you can run a deficit because you know the government will bail you out. And it also, those businesses know that they owe their lives and livelihood to the government. I mean, it was really Machiavellian the way these auto dealerships were just flat unconstitutionally taken.
Well, Congressman, let's talk about that right now for networks.
Okay.
I'm going to skip this network break and take our guest to the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. Some stations but that's a network break, so I can take it. Congressman, now, revise and extend your remarks about the auto dealerships. If they're inside cronies, if I've seen this correctly, Congress even admits it, then they get to keep their dealership. If not, they may have had it 85 years. It's taken away from them with their customer list. So this is highway robbery. Go ahead.
It is, because it allows you to completely disregard the takings prohibition in the Constitution. It allows them to disregard the bankruptcy laws. You can't just come in and say you don't have a chance to submit your own alternative plan, and you're going to have a chance for motion for relief from stay. You're going to have all these opportunities. Well, they found a lazy bankruptcy judge, had the auto task force dictate what would happen, and we could never, even in Congress, because enough people are not demanding transparency, we don't even know what they discussed. But anyway, they put a bunch of people out of business, decided which dealerships. Now, they say we didn't designate individual dealerships. We left that to GM and Chrysler. But the fact is, it is so Machiavellian. Even if they're friends or enemies, you take dealerships away from some, take property away from some, just like the old Dukes, and you give it to others. Well, the ones that have it now know that you can take it away from them just the way you did the other guys. And so everybody becomes immensely loyal to the prince, as Machiavelli talked about it. And so that's what we've seen here. It is a seize of power in this country on an unparalleled level, and it scares all these businesses. So you're able to call in banks like you were talking about and say, you either sign this or we're going to basically have the regulators take over your bank. You either sign this and give us warrants to buy stock in your company or we're going to run you out of business. And then the president goes on television and says on the auto bailout that, gee, we've got creditors who are more concerned about themselves than they are about America. Good grief, they're concerned about the rule of law, and the rule of law says if you're a secured creditor, then you have priority. They flipped that upside down and then had the unsecured creditors, like the UAW, get ownership of the company, and the secured creditors were willing to take pennies on the dollar based on the fact that the president was coming after them and going to use all his power to take them out of business if they disagreed. It is really frightening what's going on. And you wouldn't be aware of this, Alex, but because it just happened yesterday, but ever since there has been a Congress, there has been, a great political debate back and forth, fussing and fighting. Well, in the last 2.5 years, they've changed the rules. They've said you can't bring this. They won't allow amendments on so many bills. They bring them straight to the floor. They don't go through committee. But what happened yesterday was we have been battling this socialist health care, the nationalization of health care that is going to absolutely kill senior citizens. They'll put them on lists and force them to die early because they won't get the treatment as quickly as they need.
They're not even letting you do mailers now. I've noticed all the rules are changing. They won't let you read bills now.
Man, that shows how on top of things you are, Alex. Yes, we cannot talk about, if we use the term government-run health care, then we have to pay for it out of our own pocket because that's too political. Go on the speaker's website. She just chastises Republicans, badmouths them, as political as it gets. But, that stuff has gone on. But then to come in and say we can't send out the chart reflecting the new 31 entities created by this socialized medicine, and we can't say government-run health care unless we say the term public option health care, they will not let us send things out, and be on our website. It is censorship like I would never have dreamed would happen.
Well, I mean, I've been watching C-SPAN since high school, and I thought I'd learned some of the basic rules, and suddenly everything's operating differently. In fact, I want to right now play a 30-second video clip of you during the cap and trade saying, may I see the 300 pages? And this went on for hours as they said, oh, you can see it, but it's not up here. Just incredible. Here it is.
To figure out what we're doing, how much damage the country, I try to get a copy of the bill. We have out here on the table 2454 that has 1,090 pages in it, but I've understood since debating here that there's another 300 pages that were added in the middle of the night. My inquiry is, how do I get a copy of the other 300 pages that people here on the floor hadn't had a chance to read or see? Where do we get that before we cram this down on the American people?
And she won't answer.
Well, she's actually leaning over and listening to the parliamentarian because she's not sure.
And in fact, back that up. She goes back and then answers. She says, oh, it's there, but it's not. Here it is. Go ahead. Go ahead and play it, guys.
The amendment is printed in the Rules Committee report.
In the Rules Committee report. And, Madam Speaker, where would I get that report?
The rule was passed earlier today.
The
rule was passed earlier today.
Rules passed it earlier today.
The rule was passed earlier today.
Right. That says, basically, we're going to the floor without everybody being able to get a copy in the Speaker's lobby as normally required.
The gentleman is not asking a parliamentary inquiry.
Well, that's enough. It goes on for hour after hour, but the point is they wouldn't let you read it, so I guess that's why the minority leader, when he finally got a copy, had to do a leader filibuster, I guess that only leaders can do, in the House and tried to read through it.
Yep, that's right. He had some staff trying to help get through that thing and find things that were a problem. And it was just incredible the stuff was in there. But even on the bill itself, you know, it was obvious people had not read even the 1,090 pages that were available, because they kept getting up and saying, this isn't going to cost anybody jobs. What did all this bad mouth is not going to cost jobs? So I took them to the page 900 and stuff, and it said, look, you need to read your own bill, because you've created a climate adjustment fund in here. It says right here, I read it to them, that if you lose your job as a result of this climate bill, then you're going to be possibly open to an allowance that we'll give you. And then if you flip over another couple of sections, we have a climate adjustment relocation fee. But unfortunately, it doesn't allow you to relocate where your job goes, to China or India or Brazil. And so I was pointing those things out. They're saying it doesn't cost jobs. And I said, whoever staffer wrote this bill knows there are going to be people lose jobs. And I finished by saying, so I guess the good news for all you guys is that are supporting this thing, when the American public finds out what you have done to them by passing this bill, many of you are going to get voted out. And the good news for you is you may be entitled to a relocation allowance and allowance for losing your job because of this bill.
Well, Congressman, in closing here, maybe I can hold you over, but I know you're on a busy schedule. There's just so many questions I wanted to get to. What about Obama saying there's no anti-Second Amendment bills and we're conspiracy theorists, when last time I checked there were more than a dozen that, just like the climate bill, gives all these agencies the executive power outside Congress to just raise taxes, home inspections, force you out of your house. That's in there, as you know. Saw it discussed in committee. The gun bills allow him to put you on a no-fly list if he doesn't like you, to not be able to own a gun as well. Allows him to ban any guns he wants. I mean, they're saying they don't want our guns, but the Attorney General argued in the Supreme Court last year as a lawyer for a total gun ban. I mean, what's going on with that?
Well, it is absurd, and it is a violation of the rules of the House for me to, in debate, indicate that the president has not been honest or that any member of Congress has not been honest. But I was able to point out, without violating the rules, that whoever is putting the stuff in the president's teleprompter that he's reading, they're not being honest. And the poor president's reading this stuff, and apparently he doesn't realize that it's not honest. But we need to find whoever is putting that stuff in his teleprompter and make sure they start telling the truth. Bless his heart, he just reads what they give him, and it's not always accurate.
Congressman Louie Gohmert, let me say bye to you here off air as we end this segment. Okay. We really appreciate you coming on. And when I come
back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on, sir. When we come back, I'm going to plug your website and contact info. Stay with us.
Way up north, up to Alaska. Way up north, up
to Alaska. North Congressman Louie Gohmert, staying three or four more minutes with us. He's got to go on the House floor. He's got people in his office right now, but I twisted his arm to stay over because last night I saw him up there making the point that, hey, this politically is going to kill the Democrats, and as a Republican, I should be happy. But this is hurting my country. They're seizing the whole economy. Obama has the lowest approval rating, according to Gallup, of any president ever this quick into his administration. So the good news is they're stalling out. The bad news is it looks like they don't care. They're kind of ramming us. Forget the maneuvers. They're going straight at us. So into the breach once more. This is the fight. So, Congressman, your closing comments, because during the break you were explaining that this really is America-ending stuff. In your own words, repeat that.
Well, yes, this is nation-ending stuff. When you start spending as dramatically as we've spent, when you start allowing an executive to just completely usurp the judiciary responsibility through bankruptcy, the Supreme Court, and then just completely co-opt the Congress to where you can throw $100 million here and $100 million there and get a vote changed and get another vote changed and get stuff you want done to give the federal government full control, it is nation-ending stuff as we know it. And so it is a battle for our survival, and I can't believe you were up seeing this last night around midnight. But the thing is, I would rather stop the socialization of health care, because once the government pays for your health care, they have every right to tell you what you eat, what you drink, how you exercise, where you live.
They're already saying they're going to do this. They're a bunch of...
Absolutely.
Did you hear about the White House science czar calling for putting stuff in the water to sterilize us?
No, I had not heard that, but I guess if we're
going to pay...
Well, if we're going to pay $700 million like we voted last Friday to put condoms on wild horses, and I know it just says non-permanent enhanced contraception, whatever the heck that is, but if we're going to do that to wild horses, I guess it only follows that they'd eventually get around to doing it to us. But this is incredible stuff. And so, yeah, as I was saying, and I'm coming from the heart, I would rather stay in the minority permanently and stop this socialization, this nationalization, this movement toward the direction that kills the freedoms that we have, then get the majority back. It is too important that we prolong this country, the freedoms that we've given. I mean, Alex, to lose them on our watch when we've been given such an incredible gift. You go back and read, you know, John Adams and his comments, and when he wrote Abigail after the Declaration of Independence, he said, you know, we have within our grasp what philosophers and dreamers have only dreamed of, you know, to actually govern ourselves. But they didn't trust people. That's why they said, you know what, let's don't have one house, let's have two houses. And let's make them where they can cancel each other out and stop each other. And we don't want them to elect a prime minister from within themselves. No, we want another branch where the people elect this other guy, and he'll be the executive. We'll call him president. And we still don't trust him. We want another in it that can just completely cut them down, and we'll call that the judiciary. They wanted all these checks and balances, and in just a matter of 9 months, we have seen the usurpation of those different kinds of friction. So I know I get calls saying, we just want everybody to work together and be bipartisan. I don't think they do. I don't think they know what that means. It means we either cave in and let them run this country into the dust heap of history, or we stand and fight. As Jefferson said, you know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. But the one thing I know, too, is that any time you have economic chaos, people are always willing to give up their liberty to get economic stability.
Look at Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best examples, maybe the best example. So we can't let that happen. And Chuck Colson had said this in a little Bible study we had a while back earlier this year. When you lose morality, you will have economic chaos. You just will.
Absolutely. Every time.
Chaos, that's right.
Every time people become decadent, tyranny comes. Well, we're going to have you back up next month. I appreciate everything you're doing. And just like I'm up late at night, fighting the globalists, fighting the New World Order. I see that you are up there when nobody else is there fighting. You're there early in the morning. You're there late at night. I see the passion. I know you're doing the right thing, and I know you've done your research because I'm doing the same research. In closing, fire out your website. Tell us what we can do, sir, to help you. Obviously, this is a big crossroads, a huge battle. As the socialists, like Time Magazine headline says, we've almost got national health care. They've almost got their eugenics control grid over us. Can you speak to your website, how we help you? And then in closing, the Youth Brigades, national compulsory service in a group outside the military under the Democratic Party's control and the city year and the red and black uniforms.
Yep. Well, our website is... www.gohmert.house.gov. But I do have a campaign website too. If people wanted to help, because every bit helps. But I tell you, we're in a battle for the nation's future, and people need to be letting their representatives know how they feel. They need to let their senators know. And as I was talking to a guy in California, he said, well, and there's one thing other. You can let those bad representatives around the country, including the speaker, know that even though you're not in their district, which usually means they don't care what you think, you can let them know for the first time in your life you're going to contribute to an opponent outside your district. You're going to contribute not only with money, but you're going to go block walk, you're going to go help any way you can unless they turn around and do the right thing by America. It doesn't have to stop at just the district you're in.
Well, I agree with you. This is nation-ending stuff. They're trying to rush it all through. We're seeing them begin to bog down, but they've got such momentum, they're sliding over us. In closing, and we're going to let you go, sir, the youth brigades, National Compulsory Service, the Democrats have introduced those bills. Your take on that?
Well, you just referred to the point in history where this stuff has been done before. It's done in the 1930s, and that was not the only place it's been done. This has been done throughout history.
Mao did it.
And that's exactly what I was thinking of. But this is the kind of thing we've got to stop. We've got to get back to our roots, to our basics. And then, if I could just end with this note, and I don't try to seek to inflict my religious beliefs on anybody else, but they should know our history. Every morning when President Obama gets up and he looks out his south window there, he's looking directly at the Washington Monument, and I'm sure he doesn't know. I haven't had a chance to tell him, but when they dedicated the Washington Monument, they put an aluminum capstone. Aluminum was very valuable back then. There's writing on all four sides of that kind of pyramid capstone, but on the side facing the Capitol, they put the Latin words, Laus Deo, which means praise be to God. The reason they had it facing the Capitol when they did that so long ago was that's east, and they wanted the first rays of God's sun when it hit the first thing in our nation's capital to be, boom, praise be to God. And we need to get back to a place where we can actually say that because we are taking this gift we've been given, and we are not being good stewards.
Well, we're glad you're there fighting, and we're supporting you, sir, and Ron Paul and many others, and I hope to have you back up to talk about more strategy to beat these people. Congressman, get back to your meetings and to the floor. Godspeed.
Thanks so much, Alex.
All right. God bless you. Take care. Congressman Louis Gohmert, there he goes. Really voting good for the Second Amendment against cap and trade, against NAFTA and GATT. Against all these gun-grabbing bills, against the youth brigades, National Compulsory Service. We appreciate him coming on the radio show today. We're going to get into financial news and take your calls coming up in the next hour at 1-800-259-9231. I am opening the phones up right now. We'll probably even take some calls this hour. We can talk about the economy, talk about forced swine flu inoculation, can discuss the $23.7 trillion, and I've got congressmen asking this week, private Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke, where is the $23 trillion? And he says, I'm not going to tell you. So we're going to go over that and play some of those clips coming up later. Bob Chapman joins us. Then we're going to have a reporter who's been on the ground in Iraq recently and other Middle Eastern nations to give you a real report on what's happening. Dar Jamal will be joining us coming up later in the show today. But that was an amazing, amazing interview. And I did skip that network break, not local affiliate breaks, but we did skip that network break. And we only do that every once in a while. When we've got a congressman or a senator or somebody on, and it's just so important and they've got limited time. Speaking of sponsors, I tend to get so busy here on the show that I don't even get to sponsors a lot of days. And I did want to thank a few of the sponsors that have made today's show possible before I get into the flu news. As we're rapidly approaching the fall and the winter and all this forced inoculation talk. So that's coming up in a moment. But all these sponsors, I believe in them. All these sponsors I've checked out. I turn away probably 70, 80% of the sponsors that approach us. We have to beat the sponsors away with a stick, unlike most of other talk radio that's failing and imploding and falling apart. People don't want to hear fake left-wing garbage or fake right-wing garbage. They want to hear anti-New World Order, pro-liberty, spirit of 1776. People finally get it. But I do want to thank the sponsors we have and tell folks to be sure and check them out. One of them is My Solar Backup. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice storms, you name it, or these stage rolling blackouts they do to train you to accept higher power prices. That's all part of operant conditioning. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the power source 1800-watt generator and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. The government doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so make your move now. My Solar MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. Or give them a call toll-free, 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. MySolarBackup.com. You can see it on screen there at PrisonPlanet.tv for the viewers watching us right now live at PrisonPlanet.tv. I also want to tell you about another one of our fine sponsors, and that is FrontSight.com. Have you heard of the millionaire patriot Dr. Ignatius Piazza? The founder of the FrontSight Firearms Training Institute is offering a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training to my listeners. And they don't have a lot of courses in August, folks. You better sign up now. They have more in September, but this deal won't last long. You get a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice, and you get the many days of firearms training and the 5 days of free world-class training, and you get the 30-plus state concealed weapons permit with it at about 75% off. And this is the top training course out there. And then you get the free gun on top of it. Just find out about the deal or get the free newsletter or a lot of the free training that's on their website, frontsight.com. That's frontsight.com, FrontSight.com, frontsight.com. Check them out today. This is the premier firearms training above law enforcement and military training levels, frontsight.com. And lastly, my books and videos. I'm carrying a lot of new videos and books right now. Any great books I read, any great videos I see, I carry them. But then there's all my films, like the classic 3-hour film, Martial Law. You can get this film free right now at Infowars.com, an interview with Aaron Russo, Reflections and Warnings. Excellent. We're giving it away for free when you get it with the Obama Deception or some of the other films. Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding, designed for showing in high school and middle school classrooms, but also suitable for all settings. Excellent, by Dr. Michael Kaufman, exposing the fraud of man-made global warming. So important. If you want to keep your house and your property, you got to engage in the info war. The feds admit they want to drug half of U.S. school children, basically forcibly. They've got 68% of foster kids on these deadly drugs. Generation RX, very well-produced, award-winning film, available discounted at Infowars.com. Anthrax War, what's really going on with that government operation. Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. Fabled Enemies, The Obama Deception, my biggest film ever, just out for 4 or 5 months, sending shockwaves across the world. I mean, this sucker's devastating. Own it on DVD. Again, Infowars.com. And so many other books and videos. And then don't forget, we've got to spread the word. Wear our colors openly. Find like-minded people at fairs and church and work or wherever. These ball caps. We've got new T-shirts, new ball caps in. Don't tread on me. Culpepper flag. Come and take it. Second Amendment hats. All available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And we got a bunch of deals where you can get the hats for half off when you get multiple hats. So Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Okay, didn't plug anything the first hour and a half, so we got to catch up with that or we won't exist here. All great materials, though. Thank you for your support. Okay. We're not like Obama can just come tax you and take your money and then use it against you to enslave you more. We ask for your support. We're free market here, libertarians. Let me get into this now, and then we're going to open the phones up on the financial stuff with Bob Chapman coming up in about 14 minutes. We start the next hour. U.S. buys 195 million doses of swine flu vaccine. France has bought enough to vaccinate their entire population. England has bought over 60 million doses, enough to vaccinate 90% of their population. I've got another one here out of the Daily Oklahoman today. 12 million U.S. children to be swine flu vaccine guinea pigs. Kids receive untested shots, which include ingredient linked to Gulf War syndrome. And Paul Watson's wrote a more detailed article about this up on PrisonPlanet.com. Remember, and we can also talk about this in the next hour, not just financial stuff. In fact, I want callers to call in on this subject. Remember that the regular flu kills, according to the CDC and according to the World Health Organization, 37,000 people on average every year. Sometimes it's 44,000, some years it's 30,000. But on average, Just Google average flu deaths per year. They say 37,000. And that, I've talked to a lot of doctors, they say is exaggerated. You know, if some 87-year-old who's had heart problems gets the flu and they die, you know, they say died of the flu, not died of old age. But regardless, tens of thousands are getting killed by regular flu. There's 300 million people in this country. They say that, I pulled up the CDC's numbers, some say 10 have died, some say 19, whatever. Let's say 100 have died in the U.S. of this flu. And in every case, they were on heart and lung machines. They'd had heart attacks. They'd had surgery. They had another secondary infection. They had cancer. They had HIV. They had AIDS. I mean, it's ridiculous. The first death was a baby on a ventilator in Houston who was already sick, taken here from Mexico months ago and put on a ventilator, basically already dead. And so some bug got it. We've all seen people, at least if you live long enough, you know, family and friends who are basically on ventilators for months and they just turn them off. So the other deaths are all people. The second death in Texas was a woman who had all these health problems and was old and heart attacks and autoimmune diseases. When we get back, I'm going to break this down. Because what is this? They're talking about forcibly inoculating the whole Western world for something that's killed a couple hundred worldwide. What's going to happen in the fall when there's thousands of real flu deaths? I mean, this is incredible. Stay with us.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
I live back in the woods, you see.
I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
You know, we got contacted by Hank Williams III.
I got a
and we never had him on the show. I need to get him on.
Four-wheel drive and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yeah, I love Hank Williams, Hank Williams II. And I like Hank Williams III, too. He's got some good country music. Kind of rockabilly.
All day long, I can catch catfish from dusk till
dawn. You know why the establishment wants the animal ID, the premises ID? They want to shut down your farms and ranches, micromanage you. They want you dependent. They don't like it that you're self-sufficient. They don't like this anthem for liberty and independence. Crank it up!
We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
They don't like it that they can't get control of us. And this explains it right here. Listen. Listen.
Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden and mole boys raised on shotguns.
That's it.
We say grace and we say man.
You can't starve us out and you can't make us run.
Give a damn.
And that's the attitude that Americans need to get again.
We came from the West Virginia.
I mean, it didn't matter where you were from. Tennessee, upstate New York, New Jersey, California, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri. Everybody didn't trust the government. Everybody hated the government. Everybody, the heroes were people that fought corrupt government. And then somehow we became the winners of World War II, so the government could do no wrong. The older generation died. We became domesticated.
He never called me by my name, just hillbilly.
We need to get more hillbilly smarts and less of these yuppie city slicker, I don't care about anybody but myself attitude.
The land, and his taught him to be a businessman.
All right, we're out of time on that. Look, look, what am I getting at with this whole flu situation? You can make whatever you want out of all of this. You can decide whatever you want from the data, but there's only a couple things it can be. You got less than 20 deaths in the United States, less than 200 worldwide from this swine flu. We, day one, told you it was genetically engineered and had virologists on. They now admit it came from a lab somewhere. That's BBC, Associated Press, Reuters. In fact, put, swine flu came from lab. Just on PrisonPlanet.tv as we simulcast the radio, show people a headline. Not my opinion. And so this flu is clearly manufactured, but it's a scare tactic. It comes out of nowhere. It's clearly engineered, part human, part bird, part pig. virus. But they're hyping it like it's the end of the world, saying we may need martial law to deal with it. And if it just a few Americans died and they had schools shut down and were saying get ready to lock down major cities and went to level six, under that they can force inoculations. What are they planning? If they got 195 million doses ready in the U.S. and doses all over the world set up, come on in and give it to me. I don't know what you're talking about. What are they really planning? And then now they're going to try to force school kids to take it because, you know, they tell parents it's the law, you got to take shots. There is no law. It's all color of law fraud. Why not tag one more on there? And it was the swine flu in 76, the swine flu vaccine that killed thousands. That's admitted. And it broke out on a military base. Is this a biological warfare attack? Is this a smokescreen for Obama to set up a police state and ram through his new banking reform that gives total power to the new bank of the world that will pay our carbon tax to? Is this Obama's stage crises? We'll talk about it more coming up in the next hour.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we're already into the third hour. We have the fourth hour coming up, T-minus 60 minutes with Dar Jamal, who's been in Lebanon, been in Iraq. He can report on what's really happening with the troop pullback by Obama. Basically, it's more shell game, more staged activity. I was just bringing up the flu situation, and I want to get back into that in the next segment when some stations join us so it's congruent with the end of the last hour. Then we'll get into the economy and a lot more, but this swine flu is really shaping up to be bad. Not that it's actually killing anybody or real, but that the forced inoculation, the saying they're going to make school kids take it. KVUE in Austin's reporting the government is calling on thousands of volunteers to test H1N1 flu vaccine. That's all coming up in the next segment. And with us to talk about this and a host of other issues, and to take your calls is Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Bob, I want to get into flu in the next segment. First off, though, $23.7 trillion. Every 2 or 3 months we get new numbers. 10 months in, $23.7 trillion given to offshore banks. And it's all coming to a head as members of Congress and others continue to ask the private Fed chairman, the crook in chief, Bernanke, where is the money? And he says, I'm not going to tell you nothing. This is really coming to a head. I don't see Obama and his people getting away with this without staging some terror attacks.
Well, I think what's been going on is this for many, many years. And I identified it about 15 years ago. And when Treasury had trouble raising money, miraculously the buying would come out of either London or through the other tax havens, as they're called, like the Cayman Islands. And I believe, and I cannot prove this, that they, the Fed, have maintained secret accounts over there, and they do buying through there, and then it shows up like they were hedge funds, and they may be even be doing a private hedge fund to do it as a cover. And they also would transfer funds to London and have it done there because the Middle East, particularly the Arab oil interests, for years have bought lots of treasuries. That was part of the deal that they made years ago.
So they're doing plunge protection team stuff all over the world. They admit in the last 6 months half a trillion alone that they then fractional reserve leverage. But according to you and others, they're not even following fractional now. They're leveraging it with even more paper made-up crap to now Max Kaiser and other economists are saying a quantum level larger or to infinity, and they expect us to pay off the infinity of debt they've made.
That's correct. And they think that everything that belongs to us doesn't. It belongs to them. And I think Americans in particular, and maybe eventually people of the world, are going to see that they're going to just arbitrarily take people's wealth away from them. And this is where this whole thing is headed. And the secrecy, sure, Congress is mad about it. You know why? Because they can't hide their money like people from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and the Fed and all the banks. They
yeah, everything's going to be fed into Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and the Bank of England with SWAT teams in the military standing by to extract it. Bob, I want to get into this after we cover the flu, but I want to make sure we revisit this in great detail and go over this kleptocracy, this worldwide looting system that is the New World Order. The InternationalForecaster.com is his website. It's there on screen for you as we're here live at PrisonPlanet.tv. But I want to finish up with the flu and get your take on that as I recap the latest developments there. This is shaping up really bad, and get your expert analysis on that on the other side. And then we'll open the phones up as well after we cover the economy and the $23.7 trillion stolen. And if they get away with that, why not even more? Sky's the limit.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Bob Chapman, formerly with military intelligence, then he was one of the most successful gold and silver brokers privately, and helped get G. Edward Griffin going with some of his material, worked, of course, with Gary Allen with that seminal book, I don't know, 4 or 5 million in print of None Dare Call a Conspiracy. Then at one time he had the biggest financial newsletter out there, the International Forecaster. Then he went into retirement. He's come back out of retirement to fight the globalists one more time. And it's always great to have him pop in each and every Friday with us. Your calls are coming up at the bottom of the hour. Josh, Jasper, John, and many others. The toll-free number today to talk about any issue you wish is 1-800-259-9231. All right, let me just recap this and get into the latest developments and get Bob's take on it. And then I want to move on into the banking and the $23.7 trillion that's been stolen and the latest numbers that came out earlier this week. But just recapping to make it very simple. This flu is much ado about nothing. We've had less than 20 deaths in the U.S., a couple hundred worldwide. Regular flu kills 37,000 a year on average, according to the Centers for Disease Control here in the United States. Less than 500,000 worldwide every year. Sounds like a lot, but 500,000 out of 6.5 billion isn't that many. Last number I saw for some of the tropical fevers and diseases are tens of millions a year. So the issue here is, what is all the hype? Why did one baby die who was already on a ventilator and premature in Houston, and did they shut down a bunch of schools? Why? You know, that's why I went on air at the time and I said, I've got state officials, here's the document saying we're really at level 5, about to go to level 6, when the news said we were at level 4. People laughed at me. They didn't believe the document with the names of the doctors and the state officials on it. You could call the number and confirm it. 2 months later, it came out, real document, we were at level 6, like I told you. Now, I said either this is a huge hoax, or they're lying about the severity of it, or they know it's designer and is going to mutate. Within days, we had epidemiologists, virologists on. They said it's not two parts human, one part pig, one part bird, without it being engineered. Like a breed of dog or a breed of cow, you have a lineage. You don't just, from a wolf, get a French bulldog. Or from a wolf, you don't just get a chihuahua. That's breeding. There was no breeding line for this virus. It just came out of nowhere, whole cloth. And then top scientists, months later, were in the BBC and AP going, oh, yeah, I know this virus. We worked on it a few years ago in a laboratory for the UN at the World Health Organization. This is manufactured from the 1918 Spanish flu mixed with new flus. Exactly what we said. We had epidemiologists and virologists on that said it's very similar in its spread and attacking the lungs to the 1918 that the Pentagon had dug up 11 years ago from a whaler area where it's frozen permafrost. And they dug up an obese Inuit woman and some other people and got live virus out of their lungs. They used the Human Genome Project to then remanufacture it and splice it. So that's what these new vaccine lines are, where it doesn't take 6 months, it takes 2 weeks, because they're actually manufacturing it whole. Why then release something that doesn't kill a bunch of people but scares everybody? Because it scared regular virologists and epidemiologists, because when they saw it, they went, my God, this is fast-moving, fast-spreading, totally novel. That's the type that kill large amounts of people. And it's of the same family of flu viruses that did kill 40 million people in 1918 with the Spanish flu. It also broke out on a U.S. military base, just like the 1976 last swine flu that broke out on a military base, killed one person, so they inoculated tens of millions, killing thousands. That's Encyclopedia Britannica, mainstream history. In fact, pull up the 60 Minutes. I won't play the whole thing, but 60 Minutes on swine flu deaths. You just Google it. I want to play a few minutes of that later. But we're about to go to Bob Chapman with his take on this, because then they had to admit it was basically a hoax. And I said, look, either it's a hoax or they're serious, but you got to take them serious. They're eugenicists. They're planning a world population reduction with airborne Ebola spliced with a flu virus. That's what Eric Pianca and others have talked about. Then it came out 2 weeks ago that the White House science czar openly wrote an 1,100-page textbook called Eco-Science with Bush's, one of his top advisors, showing it's bipartisan. Fox News and AP have since picked it up. We scanned the book in, posted it. Others did as well. You've seen it now. Saying world government to carry out forced inoculation, sterilization of the public through the water, through vaccines. I know this sounds crazy. I'm not the one saying it. They're the ones that have been caught doing it. There's the 60 Minutes, swine flu, 1976. There it is. Later we'll play a minute or two, but I want to go to Bob. The issue is, we hoped by exposing it, they backed off. But they're planning something. You have less than 20 deaths in the U.S., less than 200 worldwide, and they're saying it's the most deadly, level 6, forced inoculation. We're going to forcibly inject you. We need volunteers to have it tested so they can say it's safe. We need to get everybody ready for this. Then they admit that the flu vaccine itself could spread it, just like they had to stop the smallpox in 2002 because it was spreading it. Remember that and all the deaths? So that was the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. They tried to get police and firemen to drill and be trained to forcibly inoculate. They said no. Remember, all this already happened. So the good news is, we may be able to discredit it and stop it now. And I'm not saying they're going to have forced inoculations. I'm not saying they're going to get away with it. They are saying they're going to do this. They're thinking they can hype it and scare people to take the vaccine. This is a group of eugenicists that have been caught adding cancer viruses, sterilization compounds all over the world on record. In official UN, World Bank, IMF documents, State Department Memorandum 200 and others. Why would you trust them to take anything? And the virus has only killed less than 20 people in the U.S. They say 19. So what is going on here? When it headline ABC News in Austin, volunteers needed to test H1N1 vaccine. The government is calling on thousands of volunteers to test the H1N1 flu vaccine. The testing will take place at 8 medical centers in the United States, including Baylor Vaccine Research Center in Houston. The test will help students determine which formula works best at what dosage. No one has it. They say 1 million people have been infected with it, but that's like everybody's infected with viruses every day that do nothing. I mean, it's a shot for something that doesn't even kill you or make you sick, and they admit it's already mutated a bunch, so it's not even the right vaccine. Then, U.S. buys 195 million doses of swine flu vaccine. Government hopes to speed development for fall vaccination program. MSNBC. Then I got another one out of Oklahoma newspaper, the Daily Oklahoman, saying they're going to forcibly inject 12,000 public school kids, telling them they have to take it. And Obama says it's 3 shots, 3 different ones. Folks, okay, Bob Chapman's been holding while I was ranting. Bob, this is really starting to take shape in a scary way. What do you see with your background in Army intelligence, counterintelligence? What do you see here, or in your economic background, Baxter Pharmaceutical secretly mixing live bird flu, according to London Telegraph? A bunch of people die that take other bird flu vaccine trials. In fact, put that on screen, folks. What is going on here, Bob?
Well, first of all, The flu in 1918 was injected into servicemen who spread it not only in the United States and Europe, and then it became pandemic throughout the world. I don't know what their intentions were at the time. My grandfather died from it, and my father came a whisper away from dying. So the swine flu of 1918, known as the Spanish flu, it had been, had it been that effective on my 6-year-old dad, I wouldn't be here today. This is another experiment, but this time it's bigger. Number one, they're going to make a pile of money for the pharmaceutical companies, the major shareholders of which are foundations and the Illuminati. They want crowd control. They want to be able to herd people around and make them do what they want to do. And you talked about firemen and policemen refusing to do inoculations and things like that because obviously somebody told them the, where this was all leading to. I think what they're going to do is I think they're going to use the shots to spread the flu. That's what I think. And as you have pointed out so many times, they want to reduce population. Whether it's adults or children, they don't care. They just want to get them out of the way. And so I think those are the salient factors. If you probably noticed there is a journalist in Austria who filed a suit against Baxter, and then she filed some other suits against the UN and the World Bank and who everybody else who's involved in this thing. And Alex, it's a giant scam, but it's going to kill a lot of people because they're going to be the killer, the government.
Well, we forget history, and your grandfather was killed, your dad almost killed. It's on record that they had an inoculation program at one, and then it came out later, 8 different military bases. The troops all dropped dead. They spread it. It was a bioweapon. Same thing in 76. It broke out at military bases. Then it was the vaccine after. I got 60 minutes right here. I just put it on screen for people at PrisonPlanet.tv that killed people. And then
Alex,
take Gardasil.
It's a biological MK Ultra.
Well, it is. It's a psyop. But you know what's amazing here to me, Bob, is that the Gardasil, 3 years ago, they had the trials, killed masses of young women that took the human papillomavirus shot. The insert for the vaccine, live cancer virus vaccine, admits it doesn't even protect you from it. Thousands of strains, 300-plus active of this human papillomavirus. And then it's killing the girls in mass now. It's like a test. We can give it to you, it kills you, and then we don't even get in trouble.
And get rid of the breeders.
Yeah, they're targeting our little girls. Just like, well, I mean, folks, I just can't handle it anymore. Bob, let's continue along this line, then into the economy. But I hope it made sense for everybody, and I want Bob to comment on this. The flu isn't killing anybody, but they're saying they're getting ready to forcibly inject us. I mean, how obvious is this? And they admit the shot doesn't even protect you from it. Chapman, I know I'm almost hyperventilating on this subject, but it's so obvious to me and everybody else, but I guess not the general public. The regular flu kills 37,000 when there are normal deaths this winter. If there are a couple thousand deaths, they're going to act like it's the end of the world, forced inoculations, the perfect cover for Obama to get all his police state measures through Congress, his carbon taxes, his new Bank of the World, where this new bank will rule the United States. I mean, they're openly announcing it. Do you see them using this flu or thinking about using it as a cover, as the stage crises they need?
There's a good possibility of that because they could use it as a stepping stone. And that stepping stone is very strong. And I believe that probably the next thing that would happen after that perhaps would be an extension of warfare, perhaps in the Middle East, a situation with the dollar where others don't want to take it because it's fallen, which could bring on a bank holiday. There's a whole combination of things that they're working on here that you and I have to back into, and others like us, because we're not on the inside. We don't know exactly what we're going. We have to look at the history of what they've done and the history of history, and then we have to back into what we think they're going to do. But there's no question, this is part and parcel of something much bigger.
And it's not just us saying this. Michael Savage, Limbaugh, they're all saying Obama may stage a crisis, economic, military, or in the case of Savage, and he's like the third biggest host in the country, he's saying stage a terror attack. If guys at that level have been given the green light to talk about this, that means some major people, even in the system, are concerned about it. I mean, I don't see Obama being able to continue what he's doing without a stage crisis or group of crises. But because we've exposed government stage crises and terror, the Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution, creating crises, then offering the solution, I don't see them getting away with it. But I also don't see them continuing their operation without it. I mean, the Gallup poll is out. Obama is now the lowest, the fastest drop of any president ever, now beating even Jimmy Carter.
Well, and that says a mouthful as well, and that's true. I think the approval rating I last saw at Rasmussen was around a 44, and I haven't seen it in the new polls over the last week. But, yes, they're trying to get as much accomplished as quickly as possible because I think that, and you do as well, from the polls, that with, and I said this in January, that Obama would be 40 by September, October in his approval rating.
You did. You're right again, Bob.
He's not going to get anything passed.
You're right again. How did you, at the peak of the Obama worship, know he was going to fall like a shooting star? Because, you know, the bigger the hype, the more the empty promises, the faster it deflates.
Well, the reason I thought so was, and you saw the same thing I did, he is a pupil of Zbigniew Brzezinski. And that's just one faction of, say, two major factions within the Illuminists that run things. And when we saw Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup and all of those companies giving these humongous amounts of money to the Democratic group and as well as Mr. Obama's campaign, we're talking, you know, millions of dollars, we knew then that he was going to be controlled by this group. And being controlled by the group means he's going to do exactly what they tell him to do. I don't think that he has anything to say about anything, much less what, oh, maybe a little bit, but much less than George Bush had. I mean, they just, you look at the teleprompter, and that's it.
Well, Bob, I agree with you, especially when I saw Clinton operative Stephanopoulos a few weeks ago tearing into Axelrod, his counterpart. That was the same position he held, saying, well, Obama lied about not raising taxes. He's raising it on everybody. And Axelrod saying, we never promised to not raise taxes. And then Stephanopoulos playing clips. They're meant now to blame it all on Obama, like he's really the one running the show. Then they'll just give us a new puppet. I mean, this is so predictable. How do we get the public to look past Bush and Obama and these puppets to Paulson and Bernanke and Geithner and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers? Well, that's starting to happen. So we'll talk about that, the economy, where you see all this going, and calls straight ahead. Infowars.com. We are back live with Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com. Your calls are coming up. We've got Dar Jamal, reporter for Counterpunch and other major publications, who has been inside Iraq and give you the latest developments there. Is it really a troop drawdown or build down, as they Orwellingly call it. But Bob, when you first got on the first 5 minutes, some stations don't carry that. So I wanted to have you start back over with your breakdown of the $23.7 trillion the White House admits has been taken. Congressman, this week in banking hearings, we've posted the clips up on the websites, InfoWars and Prison Planet, have been asking where'd the money go, including a $500 billion to foreign banks at least, and Bernanke won't say where it went. You were explaining this is a purposeful implosion of the economy to feed everything into the system, the carbon tax. We now have the bill passed the House to regulate every facet of life, home inspections. The feds can kick you out of your house, no judge, no jury, asset forfeiture seizure, seize any industries they want. It's already happening. Bankruptcy laws are being overthrown by the executive, by fiat. This really is America-ending, nation-ending type stuff, as Congressman Gohmert said in the last hour. So break down the master plan, what you see the enemy doing from your deep research, and then we're going to go to calls.
Well, it's a full court press is what it is. And they've gone for broke. If you remember during the Second World War, the Japanese-American soldiers, they had a patch, go for broke, and I had a pair of dice. But anyway, for those of you too young to remember that, it's a little bit of history.
No, I've seen it in newsreels, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you've been observing. But anyway, this come down, this breakdown of the international financial system has been all planned. And what they're doing right now is stealing. They're stealing money. They're printing it with no collateralization whatsoever, and they're allowing credit, and it's going to banks throughout the world and brokerage houses and, in some instances, insurance companies, so that they'll all stay solvent. Yes, they'll owe loans that they can never pay back, but they'll be solvent. The rest of everything else is going to go down with the exception of gold and silver, and that's why they have continued since 1988 in a big way for the last dozen years to suppress the prices of gold and silver, because they are the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. And when gold goes up, people think something is wrong, and they're right. Now, it has gone up, but it should be selling gold for anywhere between $2,500 and $3,000 an ounce. But getting back to what they're doing, they are funneling money everywhere. And when Bloomberg demanded where did $2 trillion grow, go to, which is inconsequential now in the scheme of things, a federal judge said to the Fed, where did it go? And the Fed says, well, we can't tell you. It's a state secret. That was the beginning of this. Now, I projected at the beginning of the year for the numbers I was seeing and then changed my figures on the way up to $14.8 trillion. And, of course, we saw the $23.7 trillion that was presented to Congress last week. So I underestimated. I was conservative. But that's okay. It's so bad, it's unbelievable. And, you know, who knows what the real numbers are? I mean, they might be $50 trillion or $100 trillion for all we know. All we know is they won't tell us where it's going. And it's being funneled into their supporters, so to speak. The bankers, the Illuminists, the brokerage firms, the insurance companies. They want them to survive in this new world corporatist fascist state. And this is what they're heading for. And I'll tell you something, Alex, referring back to what you said earlier in the program regarding the other host, particularly Savage, the reason they're doing what they're doing is we are forcing them to do it because we are scooping them. We've got the whole thing nailed, and they want part of it for their ratings, and that's why they're doing it.
Absolutely. In fact, do you guys have that Savage clip ready? Let's play this, because this is important, and Limbaugh's been saying similar things. Here it is. Oh, this is classic, the YouTube's. YouTube's not playing. That's fine. We'll get to it later. We have high-quality computers here. Okay, here it is. Now
I'll make another prediction. I predict that very soon Obama will create a crisis along the lines of the Reichstag fire. I don't know what form it will take, but I believe that once the minions are seen for what they are, Rahm Emanuel and his gang will set off a Reichstag fire in this country of some kind, and they will recall the military dictatorship of Lincoln and Stanton during the Civil War when civilian suspects were arrested without warrant. I will tell you as I sit here, I fear that every night as I go to sleep. I put nothing past these agitators who have suddenly seized control of the most powerful economy and the most powerful military on earth. No, my friends, I am losing a great deal of sleep every night because I do see this happening right before my eyes. Again, I will repeat what I just said. Mark it down. I again tell you that there will be the equivalent of a crisis on the order of the Reichstag fire. I don't know where it will occur. I don't know how it will occur. I don't know what form it will take. But during this crisis that will be triggered by the Democrats around Obama, the gang that surrounds Obama, they will bring up Lincoln. They will recall the military dictatorship of Lincoln in other terms during the Civil War. And they will do what Lincoln did. And they will arrest civilians without warrant in the name of saving the economy or saving the government from a right-wing takeover. Mark my words. You could put that down and you could put it in bronze, not on ice. I can guarantee you that that...
In fact, guys, minimize that YouTube clip for me so I can see the headline on it for folks out there in radio land driving around in their cars who actually want to see it. The name of the video is... Drum roll... Okay, Michael Savage, Reichstag fire event warning, New World Order manipulation. And so are you saying this because they realize that we're going to end up winning, or why are they suddenly talking like this, Bob?
Well, as I said, we scooped them, and their ratings are dropping, and they don't know what to do other than, so to speak, join us. And that's economic survival on their part. The United States government, in time, they've created their own opposition from time to time. But that's not the case here. I mean, there is an opposition. And so they're not, sometimes they'll create propaganda instruments. This is one of them.
Have you seen the clips of Sean?
Down the lines of what we're doing.
Yeah, have you seen the clips of
Sean? Stealing it, too.
Have you seen the clips of Sean Hannity where he says, oh, yeah, the conspiracy theorists are right. It's a new world order. They want to set up a bank of the world. See, all these years, it was their job to tell conservatives none of this exists. There is no CFR. There is no new world order. 2 years ago, I'd get emails saying you're a nut. There's no plan for a cap and trade tax. And then suddenly Time Magazine, Newsweek, Times of London, every hundreds of publications come out and say, Bank of the World is good. New World Order is good. Global planetary government is good. So now they can't deny it anymore. They've got to play catch up and come out and say it's all real. I mean, I agree with you. That's what I know is happening.
Well, it is. And I think you're going to see more of it. And this steamroller could run right up against the people who are running things. I've said this on the show before, Alex. I think they're terrified. They never expected to run into this kind of resistance. These programs are reaching all over the world. It's not only America that's being infected with the truth. It's people everywhere. I mean, we get subscribers in Kazakhstan and Hong Kong and Taiwan and Chile and everywhere. We're winning, and they're scared. And believe me, if they march the military out to try to do things to us, the military's not going to follow unlawful orders. They're just not going to do it.
And unless
if they bring in foreign troops, those foreign troops are never going home.
Unless they have drills from Missouri to California, from Texas to New York, which we've confirmed they're having. Mainstream news, the Army has writers writing articles for mainstream news explaining, oh, the militia is going to try to attack and kill the military, so we're doing drills to fight the militia. And, oh, at this drill, we practice militia attacking a security checkpoint, in the hill country of the Ozarks. That's in the news as they role play with local police and citizens that, oh, the Army's here to attack the militia because the militia are terrorists. They're preemptively seeing where the resistance is coming from, and the DHS reports we broke here and the MIAC reports we broke here state the number one threat and what Homeland Security and NORTHCOM is set up for is taking on former military and returning vets. Then we get the New York Times, where they're training youth brigades. I mean, you can't make this up, folks. I'm not making it up.
Well, did you
training to take on
issue?
The veterans. Training to take on gun owners.
I had a piece in there about a letter to one of my subscribers who sent it in, and I reprinted it, about them going into a VFW post, I think it was in Louisiana, and demanding all their records. This is the Pentagon. And the guy that was running the show there, 86-year-old crusty ex-gunny, says, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to get them.
Well, yeah, we've confirmed that story.
Here, I'll have them destroyed.
We've confirmed that story. We've confirmed that with the VFW nationally. That's happening nationwide.
Well, you know, it should be a sign to everybody who's got a half a brain out there that you better get the Cosmoline off your AK and AR just to make sure. Because the Army and the Marine Corps, they're going to need us. They don't want to fight us. I mean, they're us. We're Americans, so aren't they? And they are not going to follow unlawful orders. And if they bring in foreign troops to do that, they'll be liquidated. And another thing, too, which I don't know whether the Illuminists have thought about this, but let's say you ship in the whole contingent of military people from Mexico, just as an example. There's 100,000 of them, okay? They all get liquidated. In the same time, the government gets overthrown in Mexico because there's nobody to protect the criminals who are running the country. I mean, you know, if you're going to play chess, you got to think ahead.
Well, that's why they're going to use PSYOPs. That's why they're going to stage attacks on troops, engage in activities like that, so that they can kind of demonize the resistance and sell the military on doing it. I just don't think it's going to work because we've preemptively gone out there and reached out to everybody so they know these type of dirty tricks the establishment plays, Bob.
Absolutely. And don't you guys and ladies out there get sucked into any conflict. You only move when you're shot at. And you can form your own little groups, just, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have cop killers out sniping cops and sniping military when the inner cities are burning down places because the welfare checks didn't come. And they're going to try to sell America on, look, they're burning inner cities. We've got to set up military checkpoints. We've got to do this for your safety to where we beg for it. We've got to see through this as they try it, Bob.
Well, they've done that in Mexico, just as an example, especially in the frontier areas. They've got probably 60,000 troops, you know, along the border pursuing criminals and drug cartels. And it's not only there, down south in Chiapas and Guerrero and over in some of the other places where there's activities of that kind. They're using that as an excuse. And there's a lot of cities in that country where you see military vehicles parading up the street all the time. And they even knock on doors and say, we want to search your house. And there's nothing you can do about it. They just go ahead and do it. And
well, nobody can
say, conditioning.
No one can say that we're not in interesting times, Bob.
Well, that's for sure. And but, you know, if we can keep on pumping the true word to the people, they'll understand and they won't get sucked in by this. And when things get dreadful, they won't make stupid mistakes which would cause harm to them, their families, and others. And we've got to back the military, and they've got to back us.
Well,
and it's the same thing with law enforcement. I mean,
well,
you know, you don't want to – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You don't want to go home and you know, find out that somebody found out you were in law enforcement and that they shot somebody because you were told to, because you were told they were terrorists, and so somebody went to your house and wiped your whole family out. And you know, law enforcement, there's not that many of them. They don't have any protection. They really don't. And so
they know that
before they federalize. I'll tell you.
Well, they know that. They know if the American people decide to fight against them, they're dead meat. And so that's why Look, we have foreign banks openly raping, openly stealing everything, openly butchering the Bill of Rights and Constitution, openly involved in treason. This isn't rocket science. We're on the side of good. The globalists are bad. They're illegitimate. They're criminal. And finally, we are beginning to win. People are talking about the private Federal Reserve. They're talking about the New World Order. The New World Order, I really believe, has overreached. And we have to get past this loser attitude of it's all a foregone conclusion. And it's the end of the world because the government paid for churches say so. 501c3, Rockefeller Foundation, World Council of Churches. We have to decide we could beat these people. We have to decide we could stand up and say no. But they have this Borg-like resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. Mind trick they've gotten so many people into where the general public sees themselves as cowardly jellyfish and don't realize how dynamic and free and human they are and that we're alive right now. And it's our destiny to be part of history, bringing down the New World Order. Regardless, they're coming down on us. We might as well give them one hell of a fight.
And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're trying to get other people to do. Don't let them beat you. You know, it's all a matter of courage and understanding who the enemy is and what they're trying to do. You know, I'm 73 years old. Everybody else my age is either dying or sitting in a rocking chair. I mean, I do this because I know what these people are up to. And it's extremely important you mentally and intellectually arm yourself as well as do the other things that you know you're supposed to do by having listened to this program.
Well, they tell people, be young, party, don't get involved. And when you get older, they say, retire. This is all about your time. And they go home and die. But there were people 87 years old pulling triggers and killing redcoats in the Revolutionary War, Bob. You're standing up and living like a man, like you're supposed to. When they told you to go sit in a chair and die, you didn't do it. It's unbelievable. We'll take a few calls for Bob Chapman on the other side of this quick break on the economy. Stay with us.
There is a big thing that's going to happen in London at this G20, and then they're hiding it, they're camouflaging it, they're not talking about it. Coordination of international regulation. Mm-hmm. What they are going to do is to put our Fed and our SEC under the control, in effect, of the IMF.
Oh, come on. They're you believe take, they'll do this?
That's what was in the draft agenda. They call it coordination of regulation. What it really is putting the American economy under international regulation.
Yeah.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah. Well, when Geithner,
it's happening.
When Geithner said he would be open to the idea of a global currency last
week. Yeah.
Those conspiracy people had said and suggested that for years. Right. You're not wrong.
And you know, it's what they always do at these conferences is they have the center show is here, yeah. And the side show they don't want you to pay attention to.
Right.
The center show is the size of the stimulus packages.
Yeah.
The real show is international regulation of the financial institutions, which is going to happen under the IMF control.
We're going to have this segment and one more with your phone calls for Bob Chapman on the economy. I should have just had him on today about what's happening in the economy, but we got off into some other issues that are very important. Before we go to your calls, Josh, Jasper, John, and Nicolette, I should have time for at least those four. I want to tell you about one of the sponsors that's made today's show possible, Diginet.net. Diginet.net. They have a whole line of very inexpensive but high-quality hidden cameras, like a little pen that can record up to 2 hours of video and audio on it. Great to clandestinely film these corrupt government people or police or whoever needs to be surveilled to protect yourself. They have an in-car system of hidden cameras that goes to a different digital card, records hours. Very affordable, very inexpensive. Check them out at diginet.net. That's D-I-G-A-net, diginet.net. Or give them a call, 888-344-6681, 888-344-6681, diginet.net. Just fabulous, super high-quality equipment, very, very easy to use. Everybody should have at least the pen system, then it plugs right into your USB port. Bob, let's go to calls. Josh in Canada. Josh, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Hello, sirs. Thank you for your courageous work that you guys do, and everyone
Thank
really
you.
Appreciates it. Two quick questions with regards to the economy. Yesterday, the governor of the Bank of Canada declared the recession over here in Canada, despite the neocons putting us $50 billion into deficit, and we don't know who owns that debt or how it will be paid back.
Well, they declared 3 years ago that we weren't in a recession when Bob and others were saying we officially were. Now they've told us over and over again the recession's over when we're really in a depression. What's your question?
The question was that he's saying that there will be an eventual return to historically higher interest rate levels, despite the fact that in 1938, our national bank was nationalized to get away from the international bankers. But in 1974, we joined the G7, and that took the World Bank and IMF and the Federal Reserve then took control of
our money. You're totally run by the bankers, just like we are. I appreciate your call. Bob Chapman, when we look at the economic numbers, unemployment skyrocketing, joblessness, construction, manufacturing's all down, 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 and they're now telling us that we're going to have a jobless recovery. What type of Orwellian term is that?
Exactly that, Orwellian. And it's going on in Canada and every place else. And, of course, they fudge their figures just like everybody else does. And so it's going to continue to deteriorate. And they're going to continue to lie about having recovery. I mean, you're seeing corporate earnings that are better than what was anticipated. That's because they're laying everybody off.
Absolutely. They're using this to vertically integrate, to radically consolidate, and to give huge profits to themselves. Plus, they're flush with tens of trillions in bailout money they leveraged. And that's why Ben Bernanke yesterday in testimony was saying inflation is going to hit. And so that'll be another tax on us. Back in 70 seconds with the fourth hour. Dar Jamal joining us from Martha, Texas. He's a reporter that's been in Iraq, been in Lebanon, been everywhere. He'll tell you what's really going on in the Middle East. Have the troops really pulled out of Iraq? The answer, of course, is no. Another sad fraud. That's coming up. We'll continue to have open phones as well. Right now, let's go back to calls for Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. Jasper in Boston. Quick question or comment for Bob Chapman. Go ahead. He dropped off. Okay. Let's go to John in Ohio. Quick question or comment for our guest.
Well, it's not exactly quick, but Alex, I think you're on the cutting edge of really opposing these global fascists, and I'm glad to hear that at least some of the time, as Bob Chapman said, they're not communists, they're not socialists of any kind, they're the exact opposite, they're corporatist fascists.
But they're using the socialist commie model. Look, I met a lady on the street yesterday wearing a red star on her shirt who really liked my show and thought we were battling the capitalists. I tried to explain to her that the bankers want to socialize things so they can steal the money. And she just couldn't understand it like you can't, John.
Well, you know, you can constantly say it and set up a straw man, but would you have somebody on that can explain exactly what a socialist believes in rather than only the liars and the distortions?
Well, all I know is all I see the bankers doing is funding socialists. But, I mean, do you have a question for Bob?
Well, I'd like to point out that, as I say, and I was just the other night at my city council meeting opposing the vaccination and the fluoride in our water.
Good.
And I agree with about 60% of what you're saying. But I think you've got your feet in both camps with your anti-communism in a false definition. And at the same time, you've got your other foot in the austerity camp of the globalist corporatist fascist in this libertarian so-called call for slashing and gutting and looting what little social programs were given as a kind of a pacifier.
But the pacifier, the bankers get 95%, then their minions get 5%, and they use their minions as a weapon against what's left of the middle class. Look, John, I got to let you go because we're short on time. Bob, can you explain to him what's going on here?
Not in the time frame we have, but I think I can say this. I have spent since 1964 trying to bring the left and the right together, irrespective of their differences. We're all Americans. We want to win. We want to beat the bankers. So let's get together, and we'll sort everything out later. Let's get the real enemy.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, people spend so much time attacking me and analyzing me as if I'm the New World Order, when obviously my fruits are good. I'm waking people up, getting them to think, getting them involved. You know, we're in a desperate situation, Bob. We all got to pull together against the bankers.
Exactly. And, boy, it's been a long time coming, but it's cycled over the last 5 to 8 years. And my heart goes out to all of the people of different philosophical, intellectual, and political insights. Let's just get together, get the job done, and, you know, if one city wants to be socialist, let them do it. I mean, if that's what they want.
Yeah, as long as it's done under the state's rights system, that's a good point. You can have your socialist city, and we'll see how many people want to live there.
Well, you know, the truth of the pudding is in the tasting, but that will have to come after we defeat our present visual enemy.
Well said. Bob Chapman, internationalforecaster.com. Folks can get a free copy. Comes out on Saturdays, twice a week, but Saturday is the next date tomorrow, so go there, check it out. We also post some of the great articles written by Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman, always great having you on with us. See you next week.
Thank you very much, and I'll be there. Bye-bye.
All right, God bless you. Take care. I know we've got Nicolette and Jan and Chad. We'll get to you. Dar Jamal is coming up. Just got a new book out. Talk about brave. This guy goes all over these battlefields worldwide, and he's right back here where he was born and raised in Texas. So he'll be reporting to us on what he's witnessed in Lebanon, in Iraq, all over the world on the other side. He wrote an article I saw a few weeks ago exposing Obama's bait and switch. The troops aren't leaving Iraq. They shifted some into Afghanistan and Pakistan. We'll break all that down on the other side. My website's Infowars.com. And we're simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All over the country, FEMA is preparing for total martial law. Not my words, theirs. That's Fox News, CNN, ABC News. We can play the clips we have before. Coming up when Dar Jamal leaves us at 40 after, I'm going to give you latest developments there. They're amassing all this decontamination equipment, tents, material at bases everywhere, including Camp Mabry here in Austin. People are asking us why it's there. Under Level 6, World Health Organization rules, forced inoculation, quarantines, lockdowns. Is this going to be the cover story for their New World Order activity? Bush tried it back in 2002, 2003 with the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. That's coming up in T-minus about 32 minutes from now. I'll go over the latest on that front and take a few of your calls on that subject. But I wanted to go to Dar Jamal. Dar has a lot of courage. We've interviewed him many times over the years. He was in Lebanon during the last war there. He's been in Iraq multiple times. He's an American living right here in Texas out in Marfa, out there with the Marfa Lights. It's originally from Houston. And his reporting's always turned out to be very, very accurate. He's broken a lot of major news. One of the stories he just put out a few weeks ago, the reason I wanted to get him back on was the U.S. occupation of Iraq continues unabated. And I went and researched his story and others. They're redrawing the major city maps to not count U.S. military bases as part of the city, to now say they're out of the city, or they're withdrawing from the surge that put them out in little substations back into their main bases. So it's a 3-year-old policy. So it's literal shell game. And they've also, of course, rotated 30-plus thousand troops into Afghanistan and Pakistan, and those numbers are growing. So here's the Democrats getting into office in 2006 in the House, electing Barack Obama in late 2008. And I talked to Democrats on the street, and they go, yeah, we're not in Iraq anymore, because they had that big psyop, kind of like Bush with the aircraft carrier, mission accomplished. I mean, this is sick. If Bush would have tried this, would we have put up with it? And they also make it a left-right issue. Ron Paul isn't for the war. Most Republicans aren't. At CPAC, the big Republican deal, he got a standing ovation against the war. Nobody's for this war but a few morons. I know the troops want to come home, 80-plus percent in polls. Eyewitness, Dar Jamal joins us. His new book is out, available at better bookstores everywhere. The Will to Resist, Soldiers Who Refuse to Fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. Like Pat Tillman, boy, they killed him deader than a hammer. Dar Jamal, great to have you here.
Good to be with you, Alex. Thank you.
So much has happened since I had you on probably 2 years ago. You've been out of the country most of the time, hard man to get a hold of. We'll have you back up soon, but today in limited time, tell us the saga what you've seen on this quest the last few years.
Well, regarding the continuation of the occupation of Iraq, it's really amazing to me to just watch how, you know, folks like you and me, Alex, who get the U.S. Empire Project and get that these occupations of both Iraq and Afghanistan were permanent ventures going into them. I mean, before they even happened, it was very, very clear what was going to be happening there.
It was stated, yeah.
And it was, and you know, and then we have even literally just today, or just yesterday, when puppet Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki from Baghdad shows up in D.C. and is hanging out with President Barack Obama, and he says, quote, if the Iraqi forces require further training and further support, we shall examine this then, it's talking about 2011, at that time, based on the needs of Iraq. So he's already, of course, just laying the propaganda path out there for the U.S. Occupation to continue unabated, and then coupled with what you're just saying, redrawing the maps of cities, so now technically the bases aren't inside the cities. But, you know, my contacts in Iraq are saying patrols are still happening in Baghdad, patrols are still happening in other cities. Some of the bigger bases, like the one in Baghdad, are still right there. We're still looking at over 130,000 U.S. troops there, and more flowing into Afghanistan. So we're really, again, we're just seeing a continuation of Bush policy in both Iraq and Afghanistan.
But isn't this classic corporate doublespeak or soft power where Obama always, instead of Bush, is saying, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want, Obama will say, you have won, I won't hire lobbyists, or you have won, I'll pull out of Iraq, or you have won, I won't give banker bailout bonus money, or you, and then he does the exact opposite. I mean, he's a lot slicker because he doesn't give you a fight. He tells you, okay, I agree with you, but then goes around behind your back. I mean, it is really hard to stomach this.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I think that's actually the core of how and why he's been as effective as he is, like, you know, getting most of the mainstream Democrats to really drink the Obama Kool-Aid where, you know, hey, you voted for him, and he says he's going to change everything, and just because he's more charismatic and articulate and can actually complete sentences unlike Bush, people believe him. He's a hell of a salesman, and he's done a really good job, but, you know, the facts are stacking up against him. Everyone, you know, when people are getting kicked out of their homes and the government keeps ramping up domestic threats against people and all of this, you know, we're in both occupations continuing unabated, you know, the facts are starting to pile up against him. So I think inevitably at some point, despite him being a very wonderful branding marketing tool as he's been, I think eventually the facts are going to kind of obscure that enough to where enough people can see it. At least that's my hope.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, evidence shows his approval rating's dropping, but I've seen the polls. It's not really over the war. They've kind of put that out of sight, out of mind, as they put troops in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, major escalations, really scary stuff, menacing the Russians, moving more troops into those areas, kind of continuing Bush's sneak attack on South Ossetia. It's clear the corporate managers of both parties, as the RAND Corporation document said 6 months ago, need a global war to go ahead and establish this new global banking dictatorship. So people are waking up to Obama, but only because he didn't fix the economy overnight as he had promised. When you talk to Democrats or you talk to progressives, are they starting just to, from what you see on the ground, to see through him? Or are they saying, like some Democrats I talk to or anti-war folks go, well, at least he's not Bush. At least he makes me feel good while he betrays me.
Well, it's unfortunately, Alex, it's been more of the latter where, you know, granted, there are more and more people waking up. And certainly more and more of us on the fringe that have known this all along are seeing more people kind of enter into our community and are, you know, really seeing the reality. But unfortunately, I think most people are still saying that, yeah, okay, things are bad, and yeah, Obama's disappointing, and he's not fulfilling all his promises, but he took over a really desperate situation, so we have to give him more time, et cetera, et cetera. So really, you know, indications are that I think, unfortunately, the bulk of people are still kind of asleep walking through this and really just not willing to look at the fact that, you know, Barack Obama, for example, just talking about Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to see that he kept Bush's Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. He kept all the highest ranking people in the Pentagon there from Bush to just continue over. I mean, there's been a seamless continuation in policy, and we're not even talking about domestically, but just talking about foreign policy and the U.S. empire abroad, we're looking at this continue unabated. You know, we're still running on the 2006 national security strategy, of course, which was revised under Bush, and when we look at that, actually it was updated in 2008 for Obama, and, you know, let me read you the first two, or just two sentences from this document. It says, U.S. interests include protecting the nation and our allies from attack or coercion, promoting international security to reduce conflict and foster economic growth, and securing the global commons with them, access to world markets and resources, end quote. I mean, there you have it. I mean, that's the national security strategy. That is U.S. foreign policy. Any questions?
No, there's not any questions, but then they cynically lied to the people of the United States. Now, in the time we've got with you, get into what you saw in Iraq on your first visit, what you saw in subsequent visits, what you really have seen in Lebanon when you were there during the bombardment in 2006.
Well, what I saw in Iraq, the first visit and all subsequent visits was, you know, just the, you know, there was, over here it's really easy for people to kind of hear the propaganda, yes, we're going to liberate the Iraqi people, you know, make everyone safer and happy and bring the McDonald's and all of this stuff. But when you go over there and you see it firsthand, you see the mask ripped off, the propaganda mask ripped off of the U.S. Empire Project. And like all empires through history where we talk about, you know, Russia going into Afghanistan or the British going into Iraq in the early 20th century, or the Mongols or Hitler or whatever, you see basically just brutal, savage empire. We're going to come in and rape and pillage and take this country and take their resources and do what we please and leave the civilian population to fend for itself. And that's exactly what I saw, and that's what happened. We see a devastated country. We see over a million people dead. We still see today over 4 million people, refugees, either within or outside of their own country. And that situation that I saw back in November 2003 is consistently degraded with each subsequent trip that I went into Iraq, including up to the most recent trip I was there, which was just this past February. So that's the situation there. And then we look at what I saw in Lebanon with the Zionist, the Israeli Zionist aggression against the people of Lebanon in 2006. I just actually happened to be flying into Syria the day before that took place, and woke up in Syria watching Al Jazeera and seeing the footage of the Israel bombardment of Beirut and specifically the airport. And then things went on horribly for 34 days and killed over 1,000 innocent civilians in Lebanon. And, you know, we look at that situation, and again, it was just, you know, there's all this propaganda, oh, Israel's right to defend itself, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just total propaganda. This was a situation, I'm sure you talked about it, Alex, where, you know, this was all planned well in advance, totally in cahoots with the Bush administration.
Well, that's now come out that they were planning for years to do this, and some evidence has even shown they had intelligence operatives in southern Lebanon who were firing some of the rockets, and that Israelis were then firing chemical weapon rounds. Did you see any evidence of that?
Well, I absolutely saw evidence of white phosphorus being used, and then, of course, the no-brainer is the fact that Israel dropped over a million cluster bombs in just the last 72 hours of that conflict, where literally when the truce was on the table and we knew the deadline was coming, they dropped more cluster bombs in Lebanon than the U.S. did in Iraq in 1991.
And that's blowing little kids' legs off all day. And it's just the way that the Lebanese are then dehumanized. It's just out of control. Dar Jamal, stay with us. Out, The Will to Resist, Soldiers Refuse to Fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some would say, oh, that's anti-patriotic. Well, they're getting the military trained right now to take on the United States population. I mean, our government openly The head of the Naval War College, Thomas Barnett, professor, gets up on C-SPAN and says they work for Wall Street and foreign banks. I mean, it's a big joke to these guys. They're not patriotic. They don't care about America. They care about the New World Order. And Pat Tillman saw him growing the poppies and guarding it and killing people and wrote letters home he was going to go public, and they murdered him. And that's now come out. And they'll murder anybody else with Private Lynch. Turned out she cowered in fear. A couple other soldiers fought off the Iraqis. They wanted to have a poster child for women to join, so they killed a bunch of her unit that survived. They'd kill them at their houses in Phoenix, kill them at their houses in Wyoming. I mean, these are killers, not to mention all the murder, the slaughter, the billions of dollars and pallets of cash given to the troops to corrupt them, the mercenaries. Dar, I've talked to troops recently back from Iraq. They say it's just sewage everywhere, collapsing society, absolutely hellish. You've been there. Lancet says over a million dead Iraqis. What is the true state of Iraq?
Well, it's a catastrophic situation, and those aren't just my words. Those are the words of the World Health Organization. Several UN reports, International Committee for the Red Cross has alluded to that fact, and certainly the Red Crescent Society there. Again, you know, the people are, the country's been completely destroyed, and it's they've been looted. Their resources are being privatized by the puppet government, in direct cahoots, of course, with the U.S. government. And, you know, it's basically they're left in a situation where there's literally, according to the WHO, less than one out of three Iraqis now even have access to safe drinking water. Unemployment is completely through the roof, anywhere from 40% to 70% on any given month. And the average home in Baghdad has about 2 hours of electricity per day. So it's really, again, as I've talked with you on your show before, it's an unlivable situation. And it's as bad today as it was even a few years ago at the height of the bloodletting. And, you know, of course, it's getting less attention now in the corporate press. But, you know, the average life for the average Iraqi today is one of a matter of survival on a day-to-day basis.
So it's total siege. It's genocide. It's post-industrial eugenics world. Exactly what State Department Memorandum 200, penned by Kissinger in 73, said, using war, using famine to cull that population.
Well, there's certainly facts on the ground would back that up because, you know, it is economic warfare. And I think it's really, you know, the most, you know, poverty would be, you know, the stark poverty there where there was an Oxfam International report that came out a little while back. It said that 45% of Iraqis are living in abject poverty on less than $1 per day. Meanwhile, thanks to the shock doctrine economics of Paul Bremer instituted in the Bremer orders in the first year of the occupation where they changed the economic laws of the country, basically instituting an immediate depression across the entire country, and this is all extremely well documented, showing that, you know, and now we're looking at the after effects of that. There's been no improvement, no change, except for things to get worse. So the average Iraqi is actually in far, far worse economic condition today than they were even under the genocidal economic sanctions of 12 and a half years that left over a million dead in that country.
And we're now 18 plus years into the genocide, into the culling, with Saddam Hussein, CIA operative, told to attack Iran, told to go ahead and go into Kuwait by U.S. Ambassador April Gillespie. And the latest numbers from Lancet, I know that most numbers I see are over a million. Dar, you study this intensely. What's the real numbers on the amount of dead from this genocidal war in the last 6.5 years versus the last 18?
Well, the most current numbers for the current iteration of the U.S. doctrine in Iraq, which would be the Bush invasion and occupation starting in March 2003. So from March 2003 to today, there's two studies that have been done that give us the most updated figures. One with the Oxford Research Bureau out of Oxford, England, shows 1.2 million Iraqis have been killed. And then there's another group here in the U.S. called Just Foreign Policy, and they have an ongoing tabulation, and they now have it between 1.3 and 1.4 million, and that's just since 2003. And then when we include the sanctions, that's another million. And then when we include dead from the Iran-Iraq war, that's at least another million as well.
So this is approaching Pol Pot level killing.
Absolutely. We're well over 3 million at this point.
And that's what Pol Pot killed, 3 mil. They don't care about us either in America.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
All right, Darja Moll's our guest. Very brave investigative journalist, writing for Counterpunch and many other big publications. You can check out his website. We have it up on screen. It's darjamoll.com. And his new book is The Will to Resist. We were just getting into these numbers. So between 1.2 and 1.4, just 3 years in, the Lancet British Journal, which is totally nonpartisan, nonpolitical, said over 600,000. And so you double that, it's 1.2 plus. This is an outrageous crime. And I know for good old boys sitting back at home, you know, it feels tough to beat up brown people and they like watching bombs blow up on TV. This is an incredible travesty. What does the Middle East and Central Asia think of Obama? Are they buying all his bull?
Absolutely not. You know, just like people in Iraq didn't buy the Bush propaganda about freedom and liberation and all of this nonsense. You know, when you're there and you have a front row seat watching your people decimated in front of you, watching your home destroyed, watching your country burn in flames, you know, and of course all the neighboring countries of Iraq that are getting all the Iraqi refugees flowing into them, sharing all of their wonderful stories of what it's like to live under U.S. liberation. Yeah, they don't buy it any more than they buy, you know, Barack Obama talking about change and, you know, I'm going to make peace with the Muslim world and all of this while escalating Afghanistan, using more drones, bombs continuing to fall in all the countries that the U.S. is occupying there. So, no, those words, of they fell flat there even before he took office.
Dar, in the 5-6 minutes we have left with you, I want to talk about your book some, and then in closing, the most interesting story thing you witnessed when you were in Lebanon during that war that you just fell right into the middle of. But your book, I like it because it's not just the image of our troops that want to go out and shoot some Iraqi kids for fun. Most of the troops I talk to know the war is a fraud, don't like it, but the attitude is, well, we got to at least stabilize it before we leave. They kind of suck them into that lie, or, oh, I got to take care of my buddies. But the vast majority in polls want to come home. That's why Ron Paul got more political contributions than even Barack Obama from the military wanting to get the hell out of there. So your book, break down the people you talk to, the stories you tell in this book, because it shows the other side of the U.S. military.
Well, it really underscores the fact that, as you just said, the majority of troops in both these occupations are all for coming home because they're seeing firsthand that, you know, it's not a helpful situation to anyone involved in it. In fact, it's extremely destructive. And I basically started, I was going tour from my first book, and I started running into lots of veterans and active duty troops that were talking to me about, hey, our morale was extremely low, and we started dissenting and finding ways to disobey orders, even if it was indirectly. So doing things like search and avoid missions instead of search and destroy, where they would go and park their Humvees in the middle of the field and call in every hour and say, yeah, we're still searching the field for weapons caches. And they were doing this every other day. And then I ran into other soldiers, same story, different part of the occupation of Iraq, a different time of the occupation, totally different location, same exact story. So I started to realize, oh, actually, there's a lot of dissent. And then, you know, dozens and dozens of interviews later with different veterans and active duty personnel, I had more than enough material for a book, probably enough for two books of, you know, folks doing, you know, refusing orders to deploy here in the States to go back over. Folks that are over there, what are they doing to get out of it? Entire companies and platoons, I mean, that have actually had mutinies and refused to follow their orders in Baghdad and things like this. So, you know, and these are people, this is not just they're doing it out of survival mode or a sloth or whatever, but these are people really standing up and defending the Uniform Code of Military Justice that they swore an oath to, and that is that they are refusing to obey illegal orders. It's a given to anyone with any gray matter between their ears that the occupation of Iraq is illegal. It contravenes international law, as did the invasion. But so does the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan.
Well, all the studies show that the U.S. forces being there only make it worse. The globalists have been caught paying off different sides. What about even Ray McGovern documenting, but now it's mainstream news, that Cheney had them blowing up mosques and bombing buildings of Shiites to get them killing Sunnis and vice versa, and using Wahhabists to attack the Iranians and staging terror attacks. I mean, this is, and then now they caught British special forces in Basra. London Guardian reported, dressed up with fake beards, running around shooting Iraqi police. I mean, this was a completely staged war. Did you get any intel on stuff like that?
Well, I've actually written that case you just mentioned about the two British SAS officers. This is extremely well documented. There's photographs. People could probably find them online right now of these guys, literally, you know, two soldiers, shaved heads, dressed up as Iraqis with fake, with wigs, with mustaches, wearing dashtashes, in a car full of explosives. And they were thrown in Iraqi jail, going to be charged by Iraqis with planting bombs near mosques to foment sectarian violence. And before they could be tried, the Brits raised the jail to the ground and got their two guys out. And then 2 weeks after that, a similar story up near Tikrit with two quote-unquote Western contractors, same thing. So, yeah, this is well documented, and this is not news. As you know, Alex, this is U.S. policy. This is how they've conducted their foreign affairs, whether we talk about Central America or Vietnam. I mean, you know, just pick a conflict. So Iraq is no different.
Yeah, there's the Army Field Manual that got declassified 2004 from 2004. We put it on screen, and this is mainstream news. The Army doesn't deny it. They say, how dare you have it? But it tells Army captains, just standard issue, how to stage terror attacks. I mean, with their canteen and M16, they're going, here's how you stage terror attacks. I mean, how do they get farm boys to do stuff like this? Well, obviously, a lot of them get wise and don't want to do it. And I've interviewed these Marine Corps captains and people who see their own smart bombs, you know, blow kids in half, and their humanity, you know, and people lie, oh, they're just cowards. Cowards, they don't even know who they're fighting. They're just running around arresting people so jail guards can rape them in Abu Ghraib. I mean, the job is to tear up Iraq and suck it dry. And just like Serbia, bombard any country that's sovereign, bomb it out, and take control of it. And I want the American people and British and others to know these same bankers are bankrupting us now. They're cold-blooded. They're monopoly men. They love dominating people. Dar, your comment on that idea?
Well, absolutely. It's all about control, and that's why I read that quote from, you know, U.S. foreign policy defining documents, where it's all about global economic hegemonic control, using the U.S. military to as the iron fist to make this happen. And in Iraq and in Afghanistan are just the two latest iterations of that policy. And I think, you know, it will continue, you know, without fierce resistance at home and abroad. It's going to continue. But that's exactly what's happening. And I, you know, the one silver lining to this dark cloud that we're amidst right now is that I think it could not be more clear. This cuts across all political lines. Everyone is seeing it. And, you know, I'm not trying to be overly hopeful, but that is a good thing, that the fact that more people are seeing it today than ever before.
Well, look at the United States. Bills to audit the Fed with 260-something sponsors. Everybody talking about the global corporate crooks, the left, the right waking up. Dar, these are very exciting times to be alive, but I don't put it past Obama and his handlers to stage terror attacks, to stage a Gulf of Tonkin like Cheney tried to do but got caught, and Fox Phelan quit. So I think the good and bad news is that at least we're in this fight. At least the establishment is starting to run scared, and their aura of invulnerability, invincibility, is starting to waver and fade. In closing, with any other info about Lebanon, your book, do the Iraqis, do the Lebanese understand that the American people are brainwashed and ignorant, but that are starting to wake up? Or what is their view? Are they sophisticated enough to understand that we're just under mind control? Or what's the view over there? And what's Iraq's future? And where is all this going?
Well, it's grim, especially in the Middle East, because that is, you know, currently where, you know, more people in the world than anywhere else are bearing the brunt of U.S. policy. But, you know, they're very clear. Unfortunately, it's pretty dark, because people have seen, like, okay, Obama comes into office, and what happened? The American people, what few who were overtly resisting under Bush have apparently gone to sleep. So they're kind of feeling left on their own at this point, which is a bit dark. But, you know, again, I think that it's up to us. And, you know, one hopeful thing that I got from working on this book about soldiers who are resisting. You know, if U.S. soldiers in the U.S. military structure, you know, in a very, very harsh, difficult structure to operate in, let alone resist, if they can stand up and resist and many of them come out all the more better from it, then, you know, what does that say to us in civilian society who can still, you know, go about and do essentially what we need to do right now relatively? What does that say to us as far as, you know, a call to action, and what are we able to do and what are we willing to do?
Dar Jamal, always great to have you on, but I think what I get here is the world's waking up to this empire, this corporate empire that is using America as its muscle. But at the same time, Barack Obama is giving amazing aid and comfort to these global plutocrats, these kleptocrats, and that he just kind of took Iraq and all the carnage off the screen, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, he's been very effective at that. There's, you know, as we were talking about before, he's been a great brand for them to slap on this program, a great kind of spokesperson. You know, he's charismatic, he's articulate, he's fooled hundreds of millions of people, both in the U.S. and in many, particularly Western European countries. But again, you know, actions speak louder than words. And when people literally, more people in America than ever before, literally don't have food to eat and are getting kicked out of their homes by the banks, and things are just getting worse by the day, then this is adding up. And I think it is coming to a head, and I think we're going to see that real soon.
Dar, thank you for joining us. Just in closing, why are the banks on the march? Why are they greedily doing this command destruction? Their own IMF and World Bank documents state trying to bring the world into depression to set up their world government. I guess they're just conquerors, and they've got a lot of power, and I guess they think we're not going to resist them. I mean, they really are driving the world towards rebellion.
Well, it's the bottom line, and it's runaway greed, and they continue to rely on just ongoing, an ongoing consistent bottom line, increased profits at all costs, even though the cat is out of the bag and more people see it. And if they were had any wisdom, they would back away at least for a little bit and let things calm down. But, you know, runaway corporate capitalism, we can't let that happen. We've got to always grow and increase profits. And so I don't think we should expect that to change.
Dar Jamal, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll talk to you again in the near future. And the new book is The Will to Resist. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us. All right, I'm going to take Nicolette, Lou, Jan, Steve, and Kathy's calls. I can get to all of you before the show ends here today, and then I'll be back live Sunday for an abbreviated transmission, also simulcast at PrisonPlanet.tv from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific. That's 3 to 5 Mountain, 5 to 7 Eastern. But before I go any further, here as we wind down the transmission with some key calls at the end, I want to thank the sponsors for this hour that made this radio show possible today. One of them is HomeGain. Be sure and check out Max Little Orange Gorilla at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com if you forget the web address, but it's HomeGain.com. It's an absolutely, totally free service, been around for more than 10 years. They have a whole bunch of different systems. This is the place to get you started buying or selling a home, finding a realtor, and getting any real estate questions answered. Go to homegame.com and see what I'm talking about. All you need to do is type in your home address. You'll get a free estimate on your home's value. They have a home sale maximizer to help you determine which home improvements can most increase your home's value before you put it on the market. It's homegame.com. Check out all the free functions there at homegame.com. And in closing, eFoodsDirect.com. This is where I get my high-quality, non-GMO, non-hybrid, freshly produced, storable foods in double enamel cans that last more than 10 years and climate-controlled, 10 years guaranteed in your garage or attic, non-climate-controlled. Check out eFoodsDirect.com for all the free videos, the free brochure, to find out more about their high-quality foods. They have the non-soy packages. They have the vegan food as well. They have water filters, boogie packs. Just check them out, eFoodsDirect.com. Have insurance you can eat, or 1-800-409-5633. That number again, they'll be there all weekend long, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. Big fat banners up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Right now, let's go to Nicolette in Ohio. Nicolette, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Three quick points. Number one, they are forcing that issue with the kids who are with CPS. My cousin actually was in their service care, and they made her get a Gardasil shot, and she actually didn't need one. I don't think any of the kids need one. They're all poisonous.
Yeah, CPS lies and forcibly injects kids with hundreds of shots, including experimental ones. It is a criminal eugenics organization. I've given you the White House own textbook. It's real, folks. It's real. Go ahead.
Number two, I send out a newsletter every Friday with all your key points, and I research the stuff myself. It's very easy for folks to get out there and let people know what's going on. And number three, I just had a daughter, and I was going to ask Bob Chapman this earlier. The straw man method, I was trying it with my daughter, and she was born at a hospital. I didn't fill out the vital statistics form for the health department, and they sent out her information anyway and gave her a birth certificate. And I'm really upset about that because I think that's a violation of my civil rights, my right to freedom. And I'm actually contacting lawyers right now, and I want to get an email address where I can contact you guys and send you up-to-date information because I think it's really important because that is just enslavement of ourselves.
Well, I mean, obviously,
the government take care of us.
Obviously, getting us on the grid has caused all the identity theft. It's caused the cashless society, they admit, is meant to make it even worse. Then they're going to go to face scans, thumbprints, and implantable chips. Again, they put you on a cashless system. It causes identity theft. Then their answer is even more control. And, yes, getting into the system is very, very bad. But as long as your kids don't have the vaccines, as long as they're not in Head Start, but they make it so hard, you got to work and put them in there. So the CPS starts visiting everybody. The White House science czar says everybody's going to get a CPS visit, and eventually they want to take all children from all families and raise them in dormitories. I mean, this is the ultimate control freak, bureaucrat society. This is slavery, and we've got to beat 21st century slavery. God bless you. Lou in Chicago. Lou, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Lou.
Oh, hi, Alex. It's an honor to talk to you, and thank you for having me on the show. I just wanted to let you know that you've gotten to me, and I've really woken up, and learning all these things, it's been kind of an organic learning process where I've, you know, kind of coming from the heart rather than reading off of a cue card. And I have a business where I have the time to be able to get out there and talk to people. And before I saw this show, something was wrong inside of me. I knew there was something wrong. And, you know, I was focused on tanning and working out and putting my energy in the girls and things. And I have the Dodge Challenger, the 2008, the real nice one.
Stay there. I want to hear what you have to say. And on the final segment, we'll take a few more calls from Jan, Steve, and Kathy. Stay with us. Okay, final segment on this Friday transmission. Lou in Chicago, finish up your point.
Yes, sir. The point is that and these things aren't as important, all these material things. And I use my charisma, a gift that I have, to awaken, to talk to people, whether it's a higher-level person in the legal field to the person that pushes the cart at the grocery store. And
we've just got to start talking to each other instead of watching glowing televisions all night or just going to sports games or chasing skirts. All of that is fine, but the number one thing is liberty, because nothing's safe if you don't have the freedom.
That's correct, and I'm getting out there 10 people a day. I'm handing out videos. I keep them. Everyone wants to ask about my car. I bring up that subject. And finally, to sum it up real quick, the cyberbullying thing is very real. And these police now, I had a huge identity theft issue. They don't care. I have enough evidence to put this person away, more evidence than Lincoln was shot. Yet they don't even pay attention to it. They're more concerned that I called this kid a freak 3 years ago on the computer than they are with
so let me get this straight.
Evidence.
You went and complained, and then they said, oh, well, you called him a freak. Yeah, I appreciate your call. This is a whole other subject. I was talking to a big defense lawyer yesterday. I was talking to, just saw him out when I was getting a haircut, and he was explaining how there are less prosecutions now. They're only out raising money or squeezing the cattle. All the new laws being passed are for us, the law-abiding. and it's sick. I appreciate your call, Lou. Jan in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead, Jan.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
I have a comment and a question. I have a close relative who is a higher member in the Department of Health.
Okay.
And I just spoke to them today, and they're doing basically printing out all of their personal emails that have been going on in the office, and there's some really strange things going on. She said that there's going to be opening up vaccination centers like around the city and also the state. And,
no, that's what I'm going to cover this more Sunday and try to do it coherently here. But no, I mean, this flu is nothing. It's killed less than 20 people here, but they're acting like it's the end of the world, and they're gearing up for forced inoculations. I believe they're going to use this as their cover for the economic implosion. And God knows what's in the shot. So what else was she saying?
She also said that, I mean, over the last few months, the Department of Agriculture has basically been taking over everything, the water, the food inspections. She does the licensing for any biomedical things that they would need, she would give the licenses for, and they're like,
yeah, the feds are federalizing they're grabbing whole industries. We're going into global receivership, just like a third world country goes into receivership with the IMF and World Bank. We're going into receivership, but it was all fraudulently created by the bankers that run the government. Ma'am, do you understand they've stolen $23.7 trillion, double the GDP in 10 months? I mean,
I'm very aware of everything.
I mean, this is off. There has never been fraud, theft, evil like this. We are screwed. And you better tell your friend in the health department, we all got to say no to this, because if we just keep going along with it, these criminals only take this as encouragement.
Yeah, the only reason she knew, because I had given her a heads up on what was going on, so she has been watching, and her coworkers, they're all in denial. They think that, yeah, there's really something going on, and there's really going to be a flu that's, you know, natural, but they don't understand that this is all generated.
God, how obvious is it? It kills nobody. They use it as an excuse to build up the grid, because they couldn't build that up out of nowhere. People notice it. So that's their cover story for getting ready for a federal takeover. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're sure gearing up, getting ready to jump. You know, they got their fist up, they got their dukes up, and we got to, you know, get ready for this. I'll be back Sunday covering this exclusively, 4 to 6 p.m. for a special transmission. I feel it in my gut. It's important. Great job, crew. Have a great weekend, everybody. Love your family. Love God. Get your heart right. And tune in Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Retransmission starts now.